Production. Recorded live.
Greetings, dogling, hunter, and man's ass clouds across the fruited and nutted dog plain. In the open air, coast to house, we call Dog Babylon the third and the final. And this show is mainly aimed at the lost and found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ call. Greetings. Now this is episode number 107.5 of the Movement Turd, and tonight is February 2nd, Groundhog Day of 2012. Let me see. I'd go ahead and do a few little other little chores here. So anyway, and the name of tonight's show will be Every Dog Has a Stogma. Now, what people are sort of talking about was a big sort of, problem I ended up having with Keith Southworth Tuesday night on his show. And essentially, I don't think it was that big of a problem, but, you know, it did go ahead and make me decide to go ahead and, you know, give something to say. What it boils down to is that me and Keith have had doctrinal differences since day one. And as long as essentially, folks, it's pretty well Keith who went ahead and forced the issue on me. And get his friend gift number 7. And what it boils down to is that as long as you're not a Mams or a Jew, I can go ahead and essentially, I may disagree with you a good deal. I've gone ahead and I've been in Christian identity long enough to have seen it all. And generally, my main point of ire is against Jews like Eli James and Bill Fink and Dan Johns, essentially going ahead and making Christian identity and nothing but going ahead and screaming about Jews, 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 while they themselves are Jews, going ahead and getting into it. I have a problem with papist preterism. But folks, if you're not an Israelite, you know, and you pretend to be Christian identity, yes, I have a problem with you. You know, now, that is not Keith's problem. Keith's problem is that he's an Israelite. Keith's problem is just like about everybody else who comes into Christian identity, not as a child, not when they are young, not when essentially when they don't have opinions which are pre-made. Essentially, every single one and the vast majority, 95% of people are first-generation Christian identity. And what they do is they come in with their own opinions. And you ended up having what I call Baptist hobbyists here who essentially have never got over the fact that they really want to go ahead and have Billy Sunday and Billy Graham and Jerry Swaggart or Jimmy Swaggart and the rest here essentially tell them, you know, the Babylonian notion that they are going to go ahead and burn in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I went back and listened to the chat, and guest number 7 and Keith, you know, I sort of seen them, you know, mention Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 21, but they ignored, you know, verse 17, 18, 19, and 20, which pretty well said is that both beasts and men die. They both go back to the ground. They both go back to the dust. And then they quote to where the beast goes down, you know, the beast goes down and the man goes up here. His soul or spirit comes up here. And folks, I have seen quite a few people, and once they're a Baptist hobbyist, most of the time they do not go ahead and want to get into the new religion. They want to go ahead and follow their old notions. And they want to go ahead and bring what they loved in their old religion into Christian identity. Now, when you end up having Marino Jew Catholics here, like Eli James and Finkelschiede, of course, they bring in not only preterism, but papist preterism. What Baptist hobbyists do bring in is that they bring, can't we all love, and God's got to love, but he's going to go ahead and torture you, and, you know, essentially your soul is divided into three different parts here. Well, it's body, soul, and spirit. I've never seen too much, difference between, soul and spirit. And what happens, they believe, hell's going to be burning forever and ever and ever. And throughout my entire time with Keith, what I would do is that I would, you know, on the very first sermon, you know, about Adam kind, angel kind, and beast kind, essentially he believed in preexistence. I do not. I do not. And part of the reason I do not is that essentially, how long did you preexist? Did you exist 15 minutes? 15 years? Forever? So essentially what is there is that there's a number of eternal beings that live forever and ever and ever and ever. And then what happens is that there's a God over Yahweh, a Yahweh's Yahweh, who goes ahead and then determines that we are spirits which don't go ahead and rate with Yahweh or yet rate with Jesus Christ. And then we're just waiting to go ahead and, you know, when our father and our mother have sex here, you know, like Garrison Keillor says, is that when the herons go ahead and fly off the, you know, fly off the surface of the duck pond. Folks, I don't believe that. And, you know, I mean, you know, you have the Pentecostal lint heads. They go ahead 50 years ago. They worked in the cotton gins. They had lint in their hair, cotton lint. And essentially they hated niggers, and now they love niggers. Now they want to bring their niggers into the church or into the legal south or what have you. And you end up having Mormonism here. Well, hey, Lamanite pussy is best. You know, like Dave Barley. You have no devil characters here, like Clint Downey and Sheldon Emery. And essentially there's a Jew behind that, Gertie Scotch. And folks, they bring this shit into Christian identity. Now, folks, when it comes down to it, you know, when I've been accused of essentially treating Bertrand Comparé and Wesley Swift as Holy Writ, and the answer is I don't. But on the other hand, they did go ahead and bring it, you know, they did go ahead. Essentially, I think that they were scholars, especially Comparé, above my ability to go ahead and do things. So as a result, I do not believe in preexistence. I do not believe in reincarnation. I do not believe in an ever-burning hell for mortals. When Keith was covering that night here, you know, when Keith was covering Revelation, you know, like Ecclesiastes, you know, 3, you know, he goes ahead and ignores verse 17. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. This is a chapter to where to everything there's a, you know, season, turn, and time for everything under the, you know, under the moon or under the sun. Rather famous song that I really like. Verse 18, I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. Okay. Well, some of these people are beasts of the field. They've gone ahead. They're mansers. But he's saying that he might see if they themselves are beasts. Verse 19, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. That's death. Even one thing befalls them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. Now, do I believe that a man has a preeminence above a beast? And yes, I do. But on the other hand, both mortal men and beasts die. There's no pre-existence. You know, there's no pre-existence. This is sort of like something that Keith was taught and that Keith brought in. You know, he wants to bring it into Christian identity. All go to one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Yeah, that's exactly what you're, you know, that's exactly. When your cells in your body go ahead and they start to rot and the worms go ahead and eat it, how in any way are you different than an animal which essentially his cells, or its cells, break down as well? And the answer is you're not. Now, I do believe that Adamic man has a soul. I don't believe he has an immortal soul. I was talking to Pastor John Britton. And he says is that this concept of a mortal soul in some cases dates back to Babylonian times, as does the idea of burning people to scare them. Dates back to Babylon. You go ahead and read the book of Jasher, you find that Nimrod went ahead and burnt Abraham's older brother Haran. You go ahead and you find out, of course, Nebuchadnezzar tried to go ahead and do the same thing. How dare you not worship me as a god? Well, now you're denying my godhead. I'm going to throw you in a furnace and burn you forever and ever and ever. You end up having that sort of thing. Folks, this is a Babylonian, you know, this idea of burning people at the stake or whatever is a Babylonian concept. And it ain't enough. Isn't it enough that you get the reward? Must you be tormented and must you be tortured and threatened? And yet at the same time say that God is God of love, but on the other hand, he's going to burn you, and you know, he's going to burn you forever and ever and ever? Revelations chapter 20 that me and Keith covered, and that me and Keith simply cannot understand, says, at the very end of it, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell were delivered up to the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. So in short, you have the judgment day at the very end. You know, Revelations, what, 4 through 18 goes ahead. Revelation 18 has to do with the financial collapse of Zog Babylon. Revelation 19 has to do with Jesus Christ's return. The first part of Revelation 20 has to do, you know, I'm covering the timeline, not the exact timeline because no man knows the time and date. Essentially, what you end up having is that you have the first resurrection of the saints. And then Satan is bound for 1,000 years, and then he is turned loose, and then there is another rebellion. And people have no excuse. And then you have the second resurrection, where people are judged. And mainline, dual seed line Christian identity is unlike what Eli James and what Finkelstein go ahead and claim. Don't believe that there's going to be a resurrection of beasts. Don't believe there's going to be a resurrection of mamzers. Essentially, only those who are under the law will be judged in this great judgment. But let's go ahead and go. I went ahead and quoted that, you know, the sea gave up the dead, death and hell were delivered up to the dead, you know, which were in them. They were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Well, let me ask you a question then. If death and hell are cast in the lake of fire, there goes the earth of burning hell. Death and hell has been cast in the lake of fire. There is no more death and there is no more hell. Why not? Why is there no more death and no more hell after the judgment day when the bad are tossed into a lake of fire? Where are they going to burn forever and ever and ever for, you know, at here? If hell has been cast into the lake of fire, the answer is no more hell. Why is there no more hell? Because there's no more need for hell. Because, essentially, the dead are dead, and they are dead eternally. They are dead as if they never were. And folks, many of the time I go ahead, and Keith would go ahead and quote these scriptures. Oh, God is a Trinity. God, Yahweh, Father, Holy Ghost here. All right, hold on. Hello.
There. Are you about ready for me to talk?
Yeah, in a minute here. Why don't you go ahead and give me another 5 or 10 minutes, okay?
Okay, I'll hang up and call back.
All right, bye bye. So, what we have is people, for whatever reason, they come into Christian identity, and what I have to say to them is, please. Please, please, if you wanted to go ahead and bring in a Baptist notion like Greggy Howard does, here he is going ass to mouth with obvious Jew Eli James. He believes that people who are just simply mocking him or mocking Eli James and mocking the Mamzers and McFags, well, they're all going to burn in hell forever and ever and ever. Essentially, what they've done is they've made themselves gods here, and they've decided that they're going to determine who the heck is a heretic. And I was a little bit annoyed when I went ahead. I was a little bit shocked when I went ahead and heard what Keith and guest number 7 had to say. And then Keith said, well, I just can't go ahead and work with Martin. And my answer is that, folks, I'm glad I got Keith to have his own, you know, talk show. And, you know, I've been doing my dead level best with both Logan and with Keith Southworth to get them to be able to, you know, well, they have a little bit of trouble learning to schedule their shows, but they have their own passwords. And what happens is that I will encourage Keith to go ahead and have his own show. But what happened Tuesday night is that essentially what boiled down to is Keith annoys the crap out of me by going ahead and says, "Well, Martin, you are going ahead," and essentially you're interrupting me. Let me go ahead and talk. And the answer of it is that he would go ahead, and I know I'm bad about that. I know I'm very bad about that. And a couple times I'd be abashed. But it got to where if I just merely closed my, essentially or I disagree, Keith would go ahead and whine and whine and whine about how dare I go ahead and disagree with him. And so I told Keith is that, Keith, you can have a dialogue or you can have a monologue. And it seems to me you are not interested in a dialogue. You are not going ahead and simply understanding that there are certain things in which we disagree, and we have disagreed ever since episode one, pre-existence, about the nature. I do not believe there's a Trinity. I believe it's, Yahweh the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. And when they say they're one, is that they mean that they are in agreement, that there is no getting around one by going ahead and going to the other. But you see two distinct personages or individuals. And no, I do not believe in an immortal soul, and I do not believe in an ever-burning hell. And so, when I end up hearing, Jeremy Visser was listening in, and I don't blame him for going ahead and listening in. Folks, throughout my time show here, this show is not so much a religious show. It is pretty well, although there is religion in it. This show is about telling what's going on in the bowel movement, telling about how there is a great tribulation and there is no getting around that. And also, going ahead and telling Whiggers that essentially most of them are going to die in this great tribulation which is coming up here. And that is why it is necessary. And going ahead and getting you in shape here. So, folks, since I don't believe in an immortal soul, I don't believe you're going to burn forever and ever and ever, I'm not spending too much time telling you to go ahead and exercise your immortal soul or do whatever. I mean, I've never, even as a kid, I never could get, essentially, my immortal soul is different from me. Who gives a shit what happens, who gives a shit whether or not my immortal soul goes ahead and gets the scorch or goes ahead and gets to play the harp forever and ever and ever? Who cares? You know what I mean? So, folks, you have all these people, and it's just like, in Christian identity, it is just like the days of judgment where you end up having infiltrating Jews like Eli James and Bill Fink and Dan Johns. I mean, shoot, they look like Jews, they act like Jews, they're murderous sociopathic pigs. They go ahead and have children who have a Jew genetic disease like Crohn's. Essentially, everything they do turns to shit, turns to kikery. But you also have people who come in and they cannot let go what they had before. Essentially, what they want to do is they want to go ahead, come in Christian identity, and they want to go ahead and chop off what is pretty well the established doctrine. And they want to go ahead and put in their own doctrine here and take over and call it Christian identity. I had this one character who was a friend of this other one here. And this one friend believes in Trinity, and then he gets around that by saying, "Well, I'm not Christian identity." And they said, "I was Christian identity." And so does this one guy. "Well, I got Christian identity in 1994. Christian identity was perfect. It's gone downhill since then. It's become Talmudized. It's become Judaized." I said, "What was so big about 1994? Answer, that was the year he got into it. And for him, Christian identity has gone downhill ever since he got into it in 1994. He got into it because he liked it. Or he liked portions of it. Now he wants to go ahead and change it like a wife does." Okay? Do I misunderstand that? And the answer is no, I don't. I don't really mind that being done. It is quite human to go ahead and do so. But in the case of Keith, and somebody went ahead and wrote me a real good letter. I went ahead, took his name off of it. And from what I hear, Keith does the same thing to other people. Now, I love it when he does it to Dan Johns. I'd love it if he did to Eli James and Finkelstein. But on the other hand, I mean, folks, if you're going to go ahead, essentially bringing your Billy Sunday or something like that, chances are you are not going to be invited to a local congregation. And if you go ahead and insist, once you go ahead and you get your way in the door, you go ahead and insist that they must believe or they're heretics and they're going to burn forever and ever and ever, chances are you're not going to burn heaven forever and ever and ever. You're going to go ahead and get probably an intense 5, 10, 15 minute intense ass beat in the here and now. Folks, most people don't, I mean, if they wanted to be Mormons, they would be Mormons. If they wanted to be Baptists, they would be Baptists. They want to be Pentecostals, they want to be Pentecostals. And as a result, up to a point, there gets to a point where we say enough and no more. And essentially, why are you here? That's why I used to ask Clinton Downey, that's why I used to ask Maggie Bell Bitch Butts. Why are you here? Why are you here? Are you here to go ahead and make us into something we are not? And the answer is sure they are. That's exactly why they're there. And folks, that is a problem. You know, I mean, Jews will try to go ahead and keep a low profile sometimes. What happens is the ones who go ahead and want to bring in their Baptist Babylonian horseshit are usually Wiggers. But folks, we have a Wigger problem. So I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break, and then I'm going to go ahead and ask Logan to go ahead and call in. And, you know, pretty well what it is that every dog not only has his day, but when he comes in to Christian Identity, every dog has his dogma. And since there is no king in Israel, just like during the days of judgment, likewise, there is no really standard doctrine other than what is agreed to by consensus. Folks, I don't have a problem with Keith. If you can go ahead and find somebody who really wants to go ahead and do that, that's fine. You know, and I'm not going to go ahead and, you know, I mean, I'd gladly, you know, schedule a show for him or teach Keith, you know, better yet, teach Keith how to go to schedule a show. But I don't see any point. I don't see any point in wrangling and wrangling and wrangling about a Bible study where somebody goes ahead and reads the scriptures and sees one thing totally different than I myself who sees it, and then goes ahead and says that I must see it his way or I'm a heretic. Not going to have it. Not going to have it. Folks, I believe in free speech. I believe, you know, by all means, go ahead and do whatever you want. But I, you know, up to a point why, you know, I'll go ahead and essentially go along up to a point. But there does reach a time when it comes time for a parting of the ways. And, folks, I mean, what happens, what's funny is that about a half hour before I called this one guy, and he said Keith was an asshole, and essentially Keith would blow up on me. I said, oh, well, I'd like to think what she did. I said, I hope not. I hope we can go ahead and, we can go ahead and get along. And the answer is, well, yeah, we can get along just fine. Each with our own show, though. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and hail victory. And, Logan, call in here in a few minutes. Bye-bye. Okay. Okay. Well, okay, Logan, if you're here and you call in. Hello, Logan, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it a good time to call?
This is the best time to call.
Okay, I heard a lot of what you were talking earlier. I've had technical difficulties on TalkShoe. I had to install the software, and then I keep on getting booted. And so, anyway.
That is common. That is common, especially over the weekend with TalkShoe. Okay?
Right.
Sometimes, you know, Friday nights is the worst here. Here, you know, or Saturday nights is the worst. Here I am trying to go ahead and troll, You know, Peerless Goodmanser, you know. Well, not so much troll him. Usually what happens when Elier and Finkelstein are on at the same time, essentially I have three shows and I have four computers. And what happens is some of the, you know, Toshiba number one is overwhelmed enough. And so usually what happens is that Saturday nights is the worst here. And many times I try to go ahead, I try to get in like tonight at Dan John's, try to get in to go ahead and, you know, I mean, I have trolling down to a fine and serious art. And in many cases, though, especially Friday nights, you know, you will have essentially it's almost impossible to get on TalkShoe. You know what I mean? When you have high volume or something, you know, TalkShoe is free, but it's also buggy. So that's why I encourage people calling in to go ahead and call me on my landline. And essentially what happens is I record it on MP3. And I'm sort of falling behind on going ahead because it's just easiest, you know, just like most of the shows before I got kicked off in February.
Yeah.
And this Sunday, well, the 7th is the 2-year anniversary of the Movement Turd. The Turd turns 2.
Okay.
On February 7th, I'm going to go ahead and say it's officially 2 this Sunday. Okay?
Yeah.
So,
I think that's wonderful. And I'm kind of glad that Russell got me Russell gave me the idea to start listening to you because I had never heard of you.
Mm-hmm.
And, because, yeah, I'll tell you what, I stopped keeping pace today with Buddy and Jim Wickstrom and Paul Burnham, and then I was going up to Michigan, but then last Friday when Linda was on my show, she brought up Scott McQuaid, and when I went up there, they had Scott McQuaid at their feast day, and he was blaspheming basically most of the scripture, and he came out of the name of Yahweh and said that Yahweh was the name of Satan. And basically,
well, did you ask him where he got this crazy horse shit from?
I'm assuming he's up in Ohio. I'm assuming Scott McQuaid is basically hanging out with a bunch of Jews. Just and see, Linda, I'm trying to get Linda on my show. I am going to have a show tomorrow night at the regular time. 7:15.
It's usually, I mean, essentially, what you do is you call in on your cell phone, right? And essentially, that's just the easiest way to go ahead and go ahead and do it.
Tomorrow night, Friday. And I'm going to try to get Linda on there because Linda knew about Sherry Schreiner being a Jew, and so did I. So she knows I know she was married to a Jew when she was 16 and she had two double babies and all that, but. You know, she seems like she's got quite a bit on the ball right now.
Well, we had this conversation in that, you know, essentially she ended up going ahead and getting too late smart here. I mean, most people go ahead and they live their lives, and by the time they finally get their heads on straight, they only have a short time to live. And from what I gather, you know, Linda went ahead and found out the hard way, after squeezing out two little kikelets, half kikelets, that essentially Jews are no good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing about it is that some of us, I mean, you know, when I was raised at Herbert Armstrong's church, essentially they had in British Israelitism, and Herbert Armstrong plagiarized about everything, although he claimed that he invented all of it. Mostly Herbert Armstrong plagiarized about everything, although he did go ahead and essentially add to the so-called tithing laws, which were not. Herbert did pervert quite a bit of stuff here, but essentially Herbert didn't really create anything new. And he come up with the Germans are the Assyrians. Well, had a Jew, you had a Jew way back in the 1800s who essentially found this new British Israelite, you know, British Israelite belief. Essentially, he came in and he came up with this crap about essentially the Germans were the Assyrians. And essentially, Herbert Armstrong went ahead and came up with that crap. Well, folks, Jews were Judah, but what happens, most of the Jews went ahead and neglected, you know, essentially they didn't want Christ, so therefore their, you know, their chosen hood has been gone ahead and has gone to us, the Gentiles. I mean, this is, you know, this is standard fundamental Christianity, or at least the Protestant sect here.
Yeah.
And, you know, no, you have these people, and they come in. They come in and have a, you know, number of things. Now, as far as me being known here, I wasn't really known to the, you know, to these small congregations outside my own, you know, area. You know, I'm known in this area, you know, thanks to Herbert Armstrong, you know, Herbert Armstrongism. See, what happens is that when you do not have anybody in a big church, like Herbert Armstrong or anything like that, usually, or they get this fellowship. The very first thing that they do, essentially, is that now they're on their own. And the very first thing to go usually is keeping the Sabbath. And then it ends up getting to where, you know, eventually, well, like my family, a bunch of pork-eating Swedes, they get back to going ahead and frying the bacon again. You know what I mean? Right?
Well, see, here's the thing, though. Okay? If you're disciplined, whether you're a single man like me or you have a family or whatever, you're the head of your household anyway, the thing is, if you're disciplined, you're going to keep Yahweh's laws regardless of whether you have a large congregation around you. Now, it does get a little lonely, but if you love Yahweh, you're going to keep his laws, whether you're in prison, alone.
I agree, but on the other hand, I have seen, essentially what I've seen is that I've seen when, well, Herbert Armstrong went ahead and gave his church to some Jews, and essentially the older Jew named Tkach gave it to Joe Tkach Jr., and what happened, he turned into Unitarianism. So now you end up having a Herbert Armstrong church, but essentially what happens is it's no longer Worldwide Church of God. It's, I don't know what they call it.
Okay, but Herbert Armstrong never was two seed line. He was
a No. He was a British Israelite imposter.
See, that's what I'm getting at. He was a British Israelism or one seed liner at best. He wasn't a two seed liner.
That's true. But what happens is if we're talking in terms of numbers of those people who are exposed, essentially he was the largest of the, quote, Christian identity churches. You understand what I mean? And
yep.
Once these people end up going ahead and getting disfellowshipped, essentially what they tend to do, and I'm not talking about them going ahead and screwing some other man's wife like Wickstrom did. You know, Wickstrom's Christian identity, I would say he's a very lawful,
because the message doesn't mean he keeps all Yahweh's laws, okay?
I don't think he keeps much of any of Yahweh's laws, from what I gather.
Okay, just because he knows the message, he's not fit to be a pastor, because if you're not obedient to Yahweh, not only do you have to be obedient, but the scripture says if you're an elder or deacon or leader, that your children have to be obedient, and, you know, the thing is, whether you want to teach polygamy or not, Wickstrom got divorced. He got divorced from his all four wives, and I guarantee you they were not cheating on him. Okay, and the thing is, I know wife number 10, Judy, that he had a daughter with her, and for 18 years of her life, he never paid child support. And if you don't support your own kids, you're worse than an infidel. So definitely. Is not supposed to be in a leadership.
Well, we're agreed that Wickstrom, you know, essentially has a great deal of leadership ability. You know, he does know the message, but as far as, you know, I mean, essentially, you probably agree that, you know, I think of him as a Zogbot reprobate. You know what I mean? You know, would you pretty well agree that he's, you know, he's a reprobate?
Yeah. Almost everybody I talk to says he's a government agent.
That's why I call him a Zogbot reprobate. Now, on the other hand, I don't usually scream too much about Wickstrom, because everybody knows about Wickstrom by now. Yeah, I mean, if there's anybody even sniffing around, he doesn't know about Wickstrom. I mean, essentially they've been living under a rock or something, right? So there's no need to go ahead and whine about Wickstrom. At least Wickstrom is white, and when he does teach the message, he does mostly go ahead and teach it correctly. Now, whether or not he himself obeys it, and he doesn't, you know, is another matter. You know, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, now there's critters like Eli James, who's a Jew, and Fink, who I believe is a Jew, too. And essentially, you know, here's Finkelstein. I listened to him somewhat, you know, off in hand here. Essentially, I went ahead and last Saturday night had him screaming at me about when I went ahead and typed in that essentially, you know, pointed out the Alexa radio has whitenationalist.org have more, you know, viewers than Christotinia.org. And essentially, Finkelstein was screaming about how, you know, this bitch down in Granby, you know, ought to go ahead and bulldoze down my house or whatever here. Just go ahead and lying or, you know, bitching and screaming. Essentially acting just like a pig, you know. But, you know, most of the time, last Saturday night, I was trolling Eliars, and Eliar was claiming that essentially Canaan was not of the seed of Cain, but rather he was the result of incest with Ham screwing his mother. And essentially what happens is that Noah's curse had essentially a change. And Eli James knows better than that. I got him saying, well, there are a lot of people who thought that Ham had a Kenite wife aboard the ark. And the answer is, yes, he did. You know, Ham, you know, essentially Ham had, you know, Ham, according to Christianity tradition, had a white wife. He had a Jew wife, Naamah, Tubal Cain's sister, who was the mother of Canaan. That's where the line, you know, essentially Eli James is denying that he believes in dual seed lines, because essentially he's just saying that bad behavior on the part of a Wigger screwing, you know, screwing his mother goes ahead and results in a Jew boy, like Canaan. No, Canaan was a result of Ham, a Wigger, going ahead and having sex with a Kenite mother, a.k.a. Naamah, Tubal Cain's sister, and it's mentioned in the Bible. And then Cain, you know, supposedly there's a tradition that Cain or Ham was screwing a nigger aboard the ark. You know, three critters had sex aboard the ark.
I don't believe that crap.
Huh?
I don't believe that Cain was. I don't believe that crap.
Okay.
It just said that Noah and his three sons and the four wives. It didn't say anything about an extra nigger concubine or whatever.
Okay, well, all right. Well, you know, we're disagreed on that. We're disagreed on that here. But, you know, in any case, you know, that the...
Okay, so you believe there was an extra nigger wife on the ark?
Oh, there was, you know, I guess there was somewhere a nigger aboard the ark here, supposedly Ham screwed her, and she gave birth to Cush, who was Nimrod. You know, Nimrod was sort of like J. Edgar Hoover. How's that?
Okay, but if the flood went worldwide, why couldn't Ham pick up a nigger wife after the flood, after 40 days was over? I mean,
I don't know. There's just this presumption. Maybe old Ham screwed old Naamah here, the Jew wife. Maybe he went ahead and screwed the white wife here, and he wasn't supposed to screw the white wife, and she gave birth to the Egyptian.
Okay, what I'm getting at, I thought there was just four men and four women on the ark.
And the answer is that what we're going by is not actual scripture. What we're going by is is essentially legends and myths and lore, and essentially.
And I don't want to go by that though. I want to go by scripture. Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, we're not going to have a Keith and Linstead meltdown on this, are we?
No.
No need for doing that here.
I believe now, if you think you've if you think you've come across some Dead Sea Scrolls or some lost books or something to disprove the Old Testament or the New Testament, then if you want to show me, that's fine. But if it's like, you know, basically Willie Martin says that Satan dressed up as a nigger to screw you, that,
well. I have called it the Willie Martin heresy, although I don't like calling anybody's notions a heresy. Essentially, I told you about that here and why I like going ahead and repeating it to Jews and niggers, haven't I? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think that, you know, I think it's possible. You know, I'm not sure if it's even probable, but I think it's possible, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and I do like going ahead and rubbing it in both Jews and niggers that, you know, essentially, you know, especially Jews, that, you know, that's the reason they have 5 to 15% Negro marker genes here. Is that they, you know, when they go ahead and try to give themselves some Kuntang, they're just trying to go back to the roots. You know what I mean? I like to cause a little bit of trouble here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Okay? But, you know, here it is. You know, here it is. Essentially, what annoyed me here is that essentially what I would ask Keith to do on his Bible study is I'd ask him, okay, we're going to have a Bible study. What are we going to talk about tonight? Or what are we going to tell you? I ask him a day or so in advance, what are we going to talk about tonight? And about the only time he went ahead and gave it was for church government, and he went ahead and gave me a bunch of scriptures. And I went ahead and looked it up on Bible Gateway, went ahead and put that thing down so that people could go ahead and look at it. And then he didn't do it that week. And in many cases, what Keith will do is he'll just go ahead and just go somewhere, which is fine. But what he will do is that he'll sort of, you know, about every single one of the shows, what I would do is try to go ahead, and after about an hour and a half of the Bible study, I tried to go ahead and get it to where the thing started so we could have closure on the thing. Okay?
Yeah.
And essentially, you know, I mean, I guess Keith and guest number 7 really resented the fact that I do not believe in an ever burning hell for mortal beings. And I count you and me as mortal beings that we will die.
Yeah.
I don't believe in pre-existence here, because then it raises up the question of how long have we pre-existed. Now, the thing about it is that essentially it gets a little bit annoying to go ahead and be heard when old Keith, what happens is that once I went ahead and, you know, said, hey, Keith, you know, we can have a dialogue and we can go ahead and understand that we are not going to agree on certain things here.
Yeah.
And essentially what he was saying is, well, Comparé was wrong thousands of times. He goes ahead and says the King James Version is the perfect Bible here, and the Septuagint is just crap. Well, that's nonsense, because the Septuagint essentially was, you know, was brought together by this king named Ptolemy. This was, from my guess, about 120 years or so before Christ's time. And essentially what Ptolemy did was he'd take, you know, pretty well the Hebrew Bible or whatever, you take the scriptures, and essentially, reason, you know, he got 72, and I guess they called the Septuagint or the 70 here, even though there's 72. And essentially, these people got together, essentially, they pretty well agreed on everything. They all agreed that this was what was in. Now, I've heard there was some debate as to whether or not to put Daniel in. All these, you know, prophecy book, all these apocalyptic books here, essentially, there have been questions about whether or not you put them in. So essentially, it was pretty well agreed about 100 years or so before Christ, you know, as to what belonged in the Old Testament. Now, this was Ptolemy. What he was he was the what? The grandson or great, however many great-grandson of this general of Alexander's who went ahead and took essentially the prime piece, you know, in Alexander's empire, which was the land of Egypt. Okay? You know, which had pretty well was distinct in and of itself. Another general took Syria, another general took Macedonia, another general took, I think, someplace else here. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
pretty soon after is that the Macedonians were different, the Egyptians were different, and essentially, you know, Ptolemy, you know, they called Ptolemy. I mean, toward the end, I think he had a Ptolemy 13th or 14th or whatever, and a Cleopatra the 6th or 7th or 8th here. And they would go ahead, like the Egyptians, marry their sisters and daughters and do all sorts of, you know, weird crap here in order to keep, you know, essentially within one bloodline. Okay? You're all just like these pharaohs did. Okay? And what happens, all this inbreeding sometimes resulted in idiots, and sometimes it resulted in rather amoral, vicious people like Cleopatra. Okay? You know, the Cleopatra. You know what I mean? It didn't always result in idiots, but, you know, and sometimes it did. You know, I mean, nasty recessions. But what happens is that it's in vain you go ahead and simply, you know, with these Dead Sea Scrolls. These Dead Sea Scrolls essentially were books, you know, written by these devout people called the Essenes, who essentially formed their own commune. And essentially what, you know, these Dead Sea Scrolls were essentially something that was already pretty well established here of the Septuagint. There's nothing new about the Dead Sea Scrolls.
I think the Dead Sea Scrolls kind of added to two of the Old Testament books. They were extra chapters, but they did not contradict. Anytime you get something that contradicts the Old Testament or the New Testament that we know to be true, that's why whenever I read a lost book, if it does not contradict, okay, what I know to be true, then I'm not going to necessarily throw it out. Because the Catholic Church took out 99 books that were supposed to be in there, okay? But the Dead Sea Scrolls, here's the thing, though. The Jews got first dibs, so if you start reading the Dead Sea Scrolls, how do you know it hadn't been tampered with? Now, as far as the Essenes, it's my knowledge that John the Baptist and maybe even Yahshua were possibly of the Essene sect for a period of time. Is that right or wrong?
I don't know. I my pervert roommate Gilman here. He had a book about that. He had a book about how, essentially, you know, I mean, it was sort of a feminist. It was sort of a feminist book here with all sorts of crap here about how so and so was, you know, cousins of so and so and all that here. I don't know if it's true or false here. Essentially, though, from what I gather, the Dead Sea Scrolls really do not really contradict the Septuagint. But where Keith gets all annoyed about is that in the AIT course, it's written by Comparé, or taken from Comparé. Comparé goes ahead and points out is that, you know, the Old Testament, the books of the, you know, the law, the prophets, the writings, essentially what happens is that the Christian church would go ahead and throw this back up to the Jews. Now, essentially, the Jews would get all pissed off, so they went ahead and developed what was called the Masoretic Text here. And the Geneva Bible and the King James Bible are from the Masoretic Text here. So, essentially, what happens is that it's not the Septuagint which has been perverted, but rather the Masoretic Text here, which had to come from the Septuagint, which had been perverted. And therefore, you end up having the King James, you know, version essentially not be... You know, essentially you're going to have some mistranslations. You're going to end up having some assumptions here. Now, these assumptions here, like Paul in Acts, I believe, 23, goes ahead and stirs up a controversy, avoids being lynched then and there in Jerusalem, by stirring up a controversy between the Sadducees and Pharisees, to where the Sadducees, being the Levites, essentially did not believe in Moses' time, that there was an immortal life, that there was a life hereafter here. Whereas the Pharisees, which, you know, consisted of, you know, Edomites, which consisted of Babylonians, which consisted of a number of people, believed in the believed in resurrection and life after death here. And essentially, you hear where he went ahead and caused the riot. And essentially, in the riot, he managed to go ahead and get the Roman, who was essentially the civil authority, albeit not the religious authority, to essentially agree to send him off to be judged by the emperor in Rome. You know what I mean? He avoided a lynching by going ahead and, you know, causing a fight between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. So, folks, who was it? I mean, you know, you got to understand is that the Sadducees were the Levite priests. They were the, you know, legitimate religious authorities of the day. I've several times pointed out that for every fight, one fight that Jesus Christ had with the Sadducees, essentially when the Sadducees essentially tried to pull up, you know, the same trick they pulled upon the Pharisee, tell about this woman who got married to seven brothers, and who's, you know, who is she going to be married to in the, you know, in the next world, essentially the Pharisees didn't believe in the next world. So essentially this was just a trick question that they would go ahead and tangle up these legal, these little legal doofuses up. And so I said, Jesus Christ said, well, don't you know that in heaven there's neither marrying nor giving a marriage here? You're wrong. Essentially this is an idiot question here that you ask these idiot Pharisees, but I'm not an idiot Pharisee. And essentially the Sadducees went ahead and took it, okay, he's not an idiot Pharisee. Essentially, but for every fight he had with the Sadducees, he had 20 or 30 with the Pharisees. And these Pharisees were just like these people of, like these Baal priests appointed, they were not of the Levitic, they were not of the Levitical tribe here. They set themselves up as religious teachers. And very much the Jews will go ahead and admit that the traditions of man that Jesus Christ fought against, your pre-Mishnah, was not written down until after there were no Levite priests, there was no temple, there was no actual Mosaic religious establishment so that they could go ahead and go to the Romans and say, well, we want to set up a religious school. Okay?
Yeah.
So, in any case, someone's going ahead and talk about the division of continents took place during the days of Peleg, and I don't believe, essentially, folks, I think the division of continents took place millions of years ago, long before Peleg was around here. I mean, when you talk about division, I think you're probably talking about division in the bloodline, the bloodline of Adam through Seth here is what they mean by division, not geological events here. But anyway, going on. What you end up happening, though, Logan?
Yeah.
You have a lot of people, they come into Christian identity and they bring their baggage with them. Finkelstein rails against it, although he's the worst one of the lot here. He goes ahead and brings in, I think I sent you pretty well this big old screed about all these characters here, all these characters who come in Christian identity, and they got to bring in what they brought in with them. They've got to go ahead and bring in every burning hell, every mortal soul, and all this other stuff here. And folks, I mean, in the first portion, I went ahead and quoted that hell and death were cast into the lake of fire. Well, folks, so how can you have an ever-burning hell if essentially hell itself has been cast into the lake of fire? What does that mean? I think what it means is that there is no use for hell and there is no use for death because essentially those who were going to die have been judged and they have been essentially made into saints. And the ones who were condemned to death in the lake of fire, they're dead, and therefore there's no more need for death or for hell. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, all this stuff, here's the thing. If Yahweh says there's a second death, okay, all the Jews are going to go to the lake of fire, and any white person that Yahweh, which is the, all the tares go in the fire, and the chaff of the wheat, the chaff is the white trash or the wiggers, the proselytes, that goes into the lake of fire with the tares. But they're not, their soul's going to be dead, so they're just going to be thrown in the lake of fire. But I don't necessarily know. I don't think they're going to be alive to feel the burning for all eternity because they're going to be dead. Dead is dead.
Dead is dead. That's what I was trying to tell, is that death is eternal. Essentially, there's no more. You go ahead and you look. The idea of burning men, for essentially blaspheming or whatever against the king or the lord or the high priest or something like that, that's a Babylonian concept. You go ahead and read in the book of Jasher about how Abraham and his older brother were burned by Nimrod. We're burned by Nimrod. And essentially, Abraham survived. His brother Haran did not. You know what I mean? And then you read, of course, in the Bible about, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who essentially were thrown into a furnace. they were thrown, you know, they were to be burned alive in a furnace because they did not go ahead and bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's golden statue. Remember, Book of Daniel?
Yeah.
And what you end up having is that you have these people, you know, essentially, you know, Martin's a heretic. Martin is not going to go ahead and make it because he doesn't believe in punishment. Punishment, punishment, punishment. The answer is that, you know, I mean, shoot, how is this belief, what comes down to it, you know, and I don't believe it's scriptural. If, how is it any different than believing in Molech and Chemosh and the rest here who like throwing essentially babies or, you know, the people who are disposable into the fire as well? And no, you know, burning witches in the fire here. Generally innocent old women who essentially had something that the people in power wanted, so they accuse her of being a witch and essentially go ahead and have a little mock trial and burn women and children and, you know, some men occasionally. I mean, folks, that is an abuse of power. And folks, I just don't see the point of who goes ahead and decides. I mean, there's a lot of belief. I mean, you know, I don't believe. I mean, I was trying to tell Keith, if you want to go ahead and we want to have a Bible debating society tonight, I'll go ahead and keep on going to Romans chapter 6, 23, for the wages of sin are death. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And essentially, it's not, you know, it's not death. It's not being burned in hell forever and ever, and it's not eternal life being tortured by Yahweh forever and ever and ever. And what happens, I went ahead and looked again at that here. You know, Romans, what, 6:23, I believe it is, or I'm wrong here. Okay, but now, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. And folks, I do believe that if you go ahead, you know, you are quite, you're Aryan, you're of Israel, you go ahead and you obey, you know, the law of Yahweh, because it's written on your heart. Shouldn't be any problem obeying the law of Yahweh. It's written on your heart. You go ahead and Christ calls you. You go ahead and respond. You have free will to go ahead and refuse. And then at the end, I do believe you do gain everlasting life. You know, and folks, I don't have any problem with the rewards here, but I do have a problem with believing that you're going to be burned in, you know, forever and ever. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Yes, not eternal life being burnt forever and ever and ever and ever. And folks, that's pretty well what I learned in the Worldwide Church of God, and that's pretty well what I've heard among a number of, you know, I mean, you know, reading, you know, I've not read all of Comparé. But, you know, you have Keith, he does not like Comparé. He does not, you know, thousands of errors of Comparé. And, folks, I'm not saying Comparé was correct on every issue here. But, folks,
I guarantee you Comparé studied and read a hell of a lot more scripture and history than Keith, because Comparé was, I mean, that's all he did outside of practice law, especially his later years. Supposedly, even though Wesley Swift was probably the best speaker and the best preacher, Comparé was the one that went and searched from four corners of the earth and all the libraries. And basically, if he wanted to look up the answer to a Bible question, he would search it out and try to get the absolute best answer. So,
well, I've seen, you know, essentially what they did is they worked very much as a team. Wesley Swift was by far the best, you know, speaker.
From
my Garrett Comparé was the best writer. But folks, there was not really any disunion between them. I mean, Pastor John Britton has sent me a copy from 1960 of his father James Britton's ordination. Essentially, it's signed by Wesley Swift and Bertrand Comparé. It's signed by both of them. You know what I mean?
Okay, but here's the thing, though. Swift and Copper Ray read all the lost books. Copper Ray himself read all 99 lost books. I haven't even done that. And Keith Salford doesn't even want to accept 14 lost books that are in the original King James. So, I mean, basically, he's very close-minded, and he doesn't want to hear anything but his own opinion. And if you don't line up with what he says, then he says you're going to hell. I mean, at least more.
Well, yes, that is pretty well exactly what ends up happening. That's why essentially when it comes down to it, pretty well when I hung up, he just pretty well didn't really have very much more to say after that. So, but on the other hand, I don't see the point in being yelled at and screamed at because I don't agree with him. Okay?
I don't see the point in his reasoning, though, because here's the thing. I've told you this. Okay, free speech is very important, and you're about the only identity person that will let somebody call in who doesn't necessarily agree with you 100% and bring up some issues that maybe you don't agree with. Here's the thing. I'm going to debate anybody, and if they don't agree with me 100%, I want to hear them out. Because even if they're wrong, whether they're right or wrong, the truth needs to come out and different opinions need to come out. And even if they're wrong, I want them to get everything out. And then I'm going to try to get as much scripture and facts and truth as I can to show them where they're wrong so they can repent or change or maybe come into some more knowledge or a better understanding. And if they can't, if they're so close-minded in their traditions of man and their opinions and their ego and pride, and they don't want to admit that they're wrong or whatever, if they don't want to change and come into more truth and more knowledge, that's their problem.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they need to be given a chance. Just like that. Okay, just like this Scott McQuaid up in Michigan, we were at a feast day, I believe it was Tabernacles, okay? And he's up there, and he starts, I didn't know he was going to do this, okay? And I mean, his first book, he came out, and he pretty much embraced the name of Yahweh and the law, and now he's saying that basically that some space aliens, he doesn't want to call them fallen angels, but space aliens are pretty much controlling the human race, and that Adam was hermaphrodite or bisexual, and that Adam and Eve were the same person, and that Adam had, basically a penis and a vagina, and basically Adam and Eve were the same thing. It was insane what he was saying. And I said, okay, buddy, I said, if that's the case, I said, why do you have a wife over there? And
does she have a penis and vagina too?
Okay, but anyway, the thing was, is that he started coming out at this feast day saying that Yahweh was the name of Satan. And I said, I'm the only one. All these other men are supposed to be hardcore two-seed-line identity pastors, and they're 60, 70, 80 years old. And here I am up there about 38. I'm 41 now, okay? This is about 2-3 years ago. And I mean, at the top of my voice, man, I was just like, hey, I started quoting scripture and said, Yahweh is the name of the Creator. He's not Satan is Lucifer. I said, where are you getting all this? I said, it's blasphemy. I'm the only one that stood up for Yahweh, and I couldn't believe it, okay? And supposedly the main preacher there, he turned around at me and got mad and wanted me to shut up. I'm not going to shut up. I mean, anybody ashamed of Yahweh and Yahweh's truth, okay, then Yahweh's going to be ashamed of them, and that's how I feel. So basically, I went up there one more time, but, I haven't got to Michigan again, and I probably won't. I mean, that was the last place I was keeping feast days with somebody else. But I mean, you got people up there that basically buy into Joseph Jeffers and buy into Sherry Schreiner and all these other Jewish blasphemies. Okay, all this Da Vinci Code and that. See, I believe that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're all the same Yahweh, okay?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, okay? Da Vinci Code and Joseph Jeffers and some of these supposed identity people, they think that Yeshua married Mary Magdalene and had sex and had kids. And basically, that's insane. That's insane, okay?
Yeah, well, you end up, you go ahead and look at the Hitler channel, and, it's a lot of speculation about the Knights Templar, and then become the Masons and all this sort of thing. And essentially.
I know they teach that, though. See, the Knights Templar teach that Mary Magdalene and the Holy Grail was basically she was carrying a baby for Yeshua.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I don't see how you can say that. Okay, for one thing, how could Yeshua be holy if he just slept with an earthly woman? Okay, how could Yeshua be perfect? And she was the town whore. Come on. I mean,
well, even if she was a reformed whore, essentially, if Christ is marrying Israel, then I guess he's a bigamist or whatever.
Adam, Yeshua died on Adam's grave. Now, why would Yeshua say, well, because Adam was the son of Yahweh, why would Yeshua go ahead and say, I'm going to start a new family, and it's going to be with Mary Magdalene? Okay, Yeshua said that collectively the white race, the remnant, is his bride. Now, how can he spiritually be married? Okay, and Yahweh the Father was married to Israel in the Old Testament. Yeshua in the New Testament was married to his bride, a remnant. Now, that's further proof that Yeshua was Yahweh in a flesh body. Now, I know people want to believe in the Trinity, they want to believe there are two different beings. No. But what I'm getting at, whether you believe that or not, how could you?
I do think there's Yahweh the Father in Christ. Son, I don't believe in the Trinity about the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I don't believe in the Trinity. But anyway.
I got one for you. Yahweh the same yesterday and today forever. Yahweh used to be married to all of Israel, but all of Israel didn't want him and they didn't keep his laws. So he went ahead and
divorced.
Wait a minute. Now he didn't divorce Judah, but he divorced Israel. But here's the thing. Yeshua had to die on the cross. And he had to so he could remarry Israel. Now, if you accept the Da Vinci Code, without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sins. If you believe Joseph Jeffers and all the Da Vinci Code, see, because they can't.
Well, I don't believe in the Da Vinci Code.
I'm just saying, though, Joseph Jeffers has a lot of followers, okay? And
well.
Russell Long knows who I'm talking about because I was talking about. A lady that we both know that follows Jeffers, and probably I'm sure two or three ladies that we know follow Jeffers. The thing is, they say that Yeshua faked his death and that some other person died on the cross and pretended to be Yeshua, and that he basically lived to be 100 or 120 and had a bunch of kids with Mary Magdalene. I mean, this is all fantasy, sick, perversion, blasphemy, heresy, bullcrap.
Yeah, well, I mean... Yeah, I don't get my head, but I don't get my head, all messed up with horse shit that's on the Hitler channel. You know what I mean? But they usually once you've seen it once, I don't want to see it again. Yeah. When I was locked up in the nut house, I used to see quite a bit of that stupid crap. Pretty well in 2005. I'd been sent to the nut house, and they came up with who was it? Tom Hanks here, some other heifer. In the Da Vinci Code when it was brand new, and essentially they were making a big deal. And they had it in the Nut House Library, and I read it. And essentially, it was just nothing but speculation. And most of the speculation is, just lying, fraudulent bullshit anyway. But you go ahead and look at. I've gone ahead and seen. I've talked with Pastor John Britton about the Knights, the Cross of Lorraine, and there's some belief that essentially what happened to Templars essentially are Satanists here, just like a lot of Masons are. A lot of this Templar and this Masonic horse shit is essentially a bunch of Wiggers essentially worshiping Lucifer and worshiping Lucifer's kids, the Jews. Wanting to go ahead and work against Wiggers on behalf of Lucifer. So, people go ahead and yapping stupid crap about how Jesus Christ must have married Mary Magdalene. I mean, I just pretty well just reject it, very much out of hand. That's not Christian identity. You know what I mean?
Well, once you accept that, okay, then Yeshua faked his death and he didn't die on the cross, well, then the animal sacrifices can't be done away with then, you see, because we don't have the shedding of blood. See, you have to have Yeshua.
Well, I don't.
Why? Because that's the last sacrifice. That's eternal, okay? That's why if you keep on sinning after you come into the truth, then then that means that since Yeshua was the final sacrifice, okay, it's one thing to keep on sinning and to let the blood of goats or sheep or dove okay, because they don't mean much, okay? Yeshua is everything. You should love him. You should not want to sin anymore, and that's the whole point. If you keep on sinning, and you, like Buddy Johnson knows better, but he says the laws are done away with, we're just under grace, and put.
Yeah, well, that's convenient, isn't it?
I'm just saying, if you keep on breaking Yahweh's laws after you come into the truth, then the thing is, that means you're spinning on Yeshua, Yahweh, the ultimate sacrifice, and all you're doing is playing church, and you don't love Yahweh, and you don't love what Yahweh did for you and what Yeshua did by dying, because you are creating more sin in the present and future when you're supposed to. He told Mary Magdalene, he told the blind man to go and sin no more, okay? That's why I'm all about Yahweh, the sacred name. I'm all about the laws of Yahweh are not done away with. And let me tell you something. Okay, I've been studying a lot of founding fathers, and most of them were Freemasons, and of course they were basically Judeo-Wiggers, Christians or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to tell you something. One of the founding fathers, now I don't agree with everything, but one of the founding fathers, I agree a lot with on certain issues. Now, Thomas Jefferson, okay, I've been reading about him, and he started, even though he owned slaves and had a lot of money and played, he was probably a Freemason or something, but the thing was, later in life, when he started studying the scriptures, okay, he probably had the Geneva Bible, I'm pretty sure, when he started studying the scriptures, he's like me. He wanted to write a New Testament, an Old Testament. I don't know if he knew the name of Yahweh or not, but he wanted to write a New Testament, basically, that just had the red letters of Yeshua and nothing else. And I told you, I could chuck Paul, and really, I could take or leave the Gospels and the other, because basically I could take just the red letters of Yeshua, and that's enough for salvation. That's enough for holy living. And the thing is, that was perfection in a flesh body, okay? Now, Peter was fallible. All the other 11 apostles, including Matthias, was fallible. And Paul, okay, whether you want to say he's been tampered with or whatever, but come on.
I mean, we have a disagreement on that. We have a disagreement on that.
I'm gonna tell you something, though. I'm gonna tell you something. Thomas Jefferson had a problem with some of the modern translations and some of the, including some of the writings of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, he wanted to write a New Testament that basically just had the red letters of Yeshua, and I don't know why it's such a problem. Even in identity for the Judeo-Wick or even the white people in identity, why don't they read the red letters of Yeshua more? Why do they want to quote, you know what I'm saying? Because that book.
Well, Jefferson did create what he called the Jefferson Bible, and there's a bunch of free thinkers who liked it, but. I mean,
I've heard the Jefferson Bible, but every time I try to go find one, I can't find one.
Well, okay, there's some people have a conspiracy theory on that here. I don't know. I just, from what I gather, he took a lot of stuff out of the Bible. And essentially, I don't.
Okay, wait a minute. Have you personally ever seen the Jefferson Bible?
Well, not seen, things which purport to be the Jefferson Bible. To be honest with you, old Thomas Jefferson, was a very brilliant man, but, sometimes old Thomas Jefferson was a hypocrite and a politician, too, here. So,
I'm not saying that I agree with everything, but here's the thing, okay? I was bringing up the Da Vinci Code. Now, once you get the idea that Yeshua married Mary Magdalene, and Joseph Jefferson not only teaches reincarnation, he teaches that one of Yeshua's previous lifetimes was King Solomon. So not only did Yeshua marry Mary Magdalene, but in a previous lifetime, he had over 4,000 women, including some Asian and Jews. So Yeshua was a race mixer, according to Joseph Jefferson and all these other identity women that want to follow his lies. I mean, I'm going to tell you something, that's blasphemy.
Well, okay. It probably is. The thing about it is that, to be honest with you, I've never heard of Joseph Jeffers. And, you know, there's plenty of ass clowns. I mean, if he wants, you know, he can believe whatever he wants to believe. It's really none of my concern. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm just telling you, there's people in identity, or they claim to be identity, or they know they've heard the identity message, and they still hang out, want to pretend to be identity, but they believe this crap, and then they want.
Yeah, well, that's pretty well what.
They'll put you on me because I've already told them. I've already told them basically where to go and what they could do with Joseph Jeffers.
Well, okay. Well, I'd probably tell them the same thing. It's just I've never heard of them much before, although I've heard you talk about them. The purpose of this show, at least tonight, was essentially, I call it every dog has his dogma. And what happens, you have a bunch of people that come to Christian Identity, they've got to go ahead and bring in their own pet crap that they liked real good back in the old days when they used to, you know, do whatever. You know what I mean? And they got to bring this crap into it. And generally what I prefer to do, essentially, is, well, I mean, and maybe I'm not immune from it myself here. You know, maybe, you know, I mean, a lot of times, you know, there's some stuff, you know, like anointing cloths, which I've seen go ahead and kill people, you know, from Herbert Armstrong's church. I mean, in many cases, maybe I'm not, you know, maybe I don't have altogether an open mind about a lot of things here. But,
I just looked at the chat room, and evidently Mona Montgomery is a friend of Joseph Jeffers. She thinks that
she's a friend of Finkelstein's, but I'm not going to hold it against her. You know what I mean? Yeah. And she don't like the Wigger Whimper, and I'm not going to hold that against her either. You know what I mean?
I've read Joseph Jeffers' False Doctrine. And he's got about five or ten or eleven percent truth, and the rest of it is blasphemy. Joseph Jeffers said that Judah was a black man, and that he was adopted into the Israelite family.
He got a whole bunch of notions, don't he?
And also, Joseph Jeffers says that his wife, her name was Helen Jeffers. Now, Joseph Jeffers was a Jew. He basically looked like the identical twin of Lyndon Baines Johnson,
okay.
President. Okay, almost identical. He was not only a Jew, he was friends with Billy Graham, and they used to both be Baptist preachers. And then supposedly he came to the name of Yahweh. Outside the name of Yahweh, he don't have much going for him. So he says that Judah was a black man. And he doesn't even claim to be identity. So some of his people pretend to be British Israel, but they're not even that. They accept money from niggers and spicks and gooks and Jews and whites, like some of these identity whites that give them money, and they tell them whatever they want to hear. I know because I called them up in Phoenix, Arizona, because Philip Evans took over after Joseph Jeffers died. Now, Joseph Jeffers was a convicted felon, okay? He went to jail for bank robbery, and I think he tried to murder somebody. But now he claims his wife was the Holy Spirit in a flesh body. He said that Yahweh was God, and that Yahshua was just a man, and that he was King Solomon reincarnated, and that he didn't die on the cross, but he faked his death, and that he married Mary Magdalene and had a bunch of kids. And changed his name and kind of went into the witness protection program so nobody knew what happened to him. Okay.
Well, let's go. Hey, let's go ahead and take a 30-second break. I mean, we've been yakking for 53 minutes. Let's go ahead and take a quick break here. And let's just go ahead and just take a quick break, folks. We're going to take a quick break and for about 30 seconds, and then we'll come back here. Hail Victory, folks. This is a commercial, but there's no commercial to it here. How's that here?
I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll be back in 30 seconds.
All right. Well, go ahead and go to the bathroom. Hell, take 2 minutes here. Anyway, I'm just looking at the chat here. So, anyway, there's this guy from Southwest Missouri. What happens if you want all of you? But, you know, first I'm going to go ahead and yak with Logan. And, you know, if you're a guest or something, associated with Southwest Missouri, after we get done talking to Logan, we can go ahead, and if you want to go ahead and be unmuted, I go ahead and unmute you, okay? All right? You don't wash his hands? Well, make sure you don't do. sort of like, what the heck was his name? George Carlin. He says he don't wash his hands unless he pisses or shits on them. You know what I mean? Or you do, Al. But then again, he died, sometime back. Maybe he should have washed his hands more often. Huh? So.
Okay.
All right. Hold on. Let me see.
I didn't know if you're talking again to the audience or not. Are you doing your tape, your MP3 tape?
Yep, okay. All right, folks, we're back for, the third or fourth segment of the Movement Third, folks. And we have Logan. We have Logan on the line. Shane Davis, I think, is his real name. And we have Logan on the thing.
Basically, I was just telling you some of the many heresies and blasphemies that Joseph Jeffers stands for.
So is this Joseph Jeffers, he's still alive or something, or what?
No, he died about 10 or 15 years ago, but Yahweh's Kingdom was his outfit, and it was taken over by Philip B. Evans of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Prescott, Arizona. He's got a P.O. box because I was going to hunt him down. I talked to him on the phone twice,
mm-hmm.
okay, because Judy Nips gave a bunch of money to him, and I got the number from her, and I called him, and because she said, oh, he's identity. No, he's not identity. He pretended to be British Israel, but he says that America and Great Britain are Israel, but not white America and white Britain, but basically all the mongrels and everything that live here is Israel. So basically, he's not even Herbert Armstrong, British Israel. He he'll tell Judy what she wants to hear, and I'll call up, and he'll tell me what I want to hear, as long as he can get some money out of it. I mean, he's got niggers and spicks and gooks and wiggers and everything giving him money. And he's just like Sherry Schreiner. Sherry Schreiner's, she posted some of Clifton Emenhiser's articles on her website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and she said, I've got over 2 million listeners from 80 different countries, Africa and China and everywhere else, and they're all going to heaven because I'm Yahweh's prophet of the last day. So she claims to be the only prophet, Sherry Schreiner. Okay, and she's a Jew, and of course,
She's a Jew with a pussy, huh? She's a female Jew, right?
Yeah, she's a Jew, and she's got four devil babies, and she pretends to be persecuted, and she's always begging for money so she can buy a new house and move. But, what a scam, you know? But anyway, she posted some eclipse and stuff to try to teach the serpent seed. Okay, and she keeps the Sabbath used, or she keeps the feast days, but she's got a bunch of Jew rabbis. She always hangs out. So, basically, she doesn't like it.
Hey, Logan, you're still breaking up right now.
Okay,
is that
hold on.
Bad?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yeah.
I got away from the computer. Okay, basically, Sherry Schreiner. She says there's a serpent seed, but basically there's space aliens, and you could be black serpent seed, Mexican serpent seed. Basically, anybody she doesn't like, she'll call a space alien. But now, all she hang out with her, they're not serpent seed. Okay.
She's a Jew. She's a Jew. She's a female Jew. She's a Kikis.
So she pretended.
How old is this Kikis anyway?
Huh?
How old is this Kikis anyway?
She's older than me. I think she's about 40, 48 or 50 something, and she lives in Ohio, I think. Evidently there's a lot of Jews in Ohio because that's where Scott McQuaid is from, and he hangs out with. And I met Scott McQuaid's his girlfriend slash wife, Angie or Angela,
mm-hmm.
and she's got real dark hair and dark eyes. So, and supposedly that's who turned him away from the truth, okay? But, I don't give a damn because you know what, okay? All these people, I mean, even Arnold Murray don't teach identity anymore because he got bombed, okay? You know what, I guess what, it's not just about money with these people. Also, they want to be popular and be politically correct, and they want to be on, you know, on cable TV or satellite. They want to, have a big deal, and basically, they want to sell out to the deal, okay, for fame, fortune, money, power, friends, or whatever, popularity. What, I mean, is that right or wrong, Martin?
Well, I mean, you have no shortage of sellouts, especially in the bowel movement of ours. I mean, you end up having these people, they get in, and I was figured out that you end up having what is really known as a, quote, successful movement. Essentially, you have only about 6 months to about a year. You know, if you go ahead and you bring it out, you know, beyond yourself, you have 6 months to a year before it's going to be infiltrated by Zogbots or what have you. You know, regardless of what, regardless of that.
Okay, but now, that wasn't always the case. 50 or 60 or 70 years ago, things didn't get infiltrated that quickly. But now, well, okay, for instance, you told me it used to be the militia, and before 94, before 1990, some of the militias were legit. But now, unless you go underground, well, even in Christian Identity, to have a church or to worship, basically, everybody's underground because all the above board mainstream are all infiltrated.
Well, that's why I don't go to any of these various Christian Identity. I don't go to Herbert Remnants. Some of them are, some of them are the children of people who used to be in there, and essentially they sort of know of me. But essentially, they. This is what gets me is all these characters like Eli James and Fink or something like that here, they go ahead and they put a target on their back, and that's not normal. That's not normal to people I know. Most of the people I know in this area, essentially what happens is that they don't want their kids taken away. They don't want to lose, in many cases, they're not so much worried about losing their job because they have their own farm or dairy operation. That's the way it used to be with these older people here. Now it's different to where essentially they end up, they don't have financial, freedom. And essentially they don't want to go ahead and essentially be known as weirdos or, things like this or something like that. I mean, when I was up in the nut house, you had these people called, these local people, the deacons went to school with Roxy, and essentially they had a little Baptist. They had a little Baptist organization, and essentially they were called a cult. And they had their children taken away, and had essentially most Christian Identity that I know, they do not want essentially their children taken away or to lose their jobs or anything like that. So essentially, yes, they follow their sacred name, this or, something like that, their own little notions, but essentially they're not harming, anybody. And, when you end up having these people here, most of them do not believe in the, it's like this. If they wanted to be Baptist, they'd join a Baptist church. If they want to be Methodist, they'd join a Methodist church, And what is a Methodist? It's a Baptist with money, at least around here. And folks, if they wanted to be Pentecostal, they'd go ahead and stick with the Pentecostal church. So essentially, in this area, you have the most Christian Identity people who do believe that they are the house of Israel. You do have a bunch of Anglo-Methodists in some cases. Just like this Arnold Murray. Arnold Murray heard a variant of, British Israelitism or something like that. He actually heard a variant of dual feedline, and I almost listened to him for about 10 minutes. I went ahead and listened to one of his archived, whatchamacallit. He was talking not about Jews, but of Kenites. So essentially, I recognize him as being somewhat Identity. But, for all practical purposes,
he says that some Kenites can be saved, though. He does say that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll end up having, here I was at Herbert Armstrong's church, and guess what? The Jews are Judah. And fine. fine. If you don't believe that stupid shit, go ahead and believe that stupid shit. You know, I don't believe that stupid shit. But essentially, that's part of the reason that I'm tolerant to free speech and tolerant to what other people call heresies, because essentially here I am surrounded by a bunch of people, probably the biggest, you know, the biggest assortment is, you know, Christian identity, who do believe, who got a little bit of a portion of the message, be it from Herbert Armstrong, or be it from Arnold Murray, or be it from a few dual seed line, you know, Christian identity churches, or be it from the Klan, or be it from what have you. Essentially, every single one of them have little notions, little, you know, I'm not going to call them heresies, but they have little notions, which essentially I do not agree with. But am I going to go ahead and beat them over the head with it? And the answer is no, I'm not. Now, you know, I'm not going to give any money to Arnold Murray, but on the other hand, I'm not going to give Arnold Murray a hard time because he's not in the movement. He's not getting people put in, you know, prison or jail with his...
This way. Let's put it this way. If I met Arnold Murray face-to-face or if I ever called him on the phone, okay, and I put him on the spot and I said, what about John 8:44 where Yahweh tells them they cannot escape the damnation of hell and that they're all going to hell, okay, that he calls them Kenites or the seed of Cain or whatever he wants to call them.
Well, he calls them Kenites is what he calls them. That's
but in the past, he has said that if they repent, they can be saved. Now,
yeah,
the thing is,
yeah.
Arnold Murray also is not saying, okay, Yahshua said a bastard or a non-white cannot enter the congregation forever. Now, Arnold Murray doesn't say that, so if you listen to Arnold Murray, if you listen to Arnold Murray, you could be a nigger or spick or gook or mongrel.
You have a lot of angry little schizos running around. I'll admit that.
I'm just saying, look. I don't associate with Arnold Murray. I don't keep the peace days with Arnold Murray. If I met him, okay, I would treat him no different than any Wigger that was Judeo-Christian that had never heard the identity message. I would quote passage and verse, and if he denied that the Bible is only for the pure white race, if he denied that, which I'm sure he would because that's what he teaches on the TV, once he denied that, I would shake the dust off my feet. Now, I might not out here bashing him, but I'm just saying that he's not identity. Okay? Now, a long time ago, I think he was because he had heard it. But...
Well, he knows what identity preaches. It's just that what happens is that he wants money. That's what he wants.
The thing is, if he was preaching hardcore identity, he wouldn't be on the mainstream media, and he wouldn't have a lot of followers, and he wouldn't have a lot of money. There you go. So the thing is, okay, is whether in his heart he believes it or not, really he doesn't, because if you're convicted, it's like I said, Buddy Johnson, I don't even know what Buddy Johnson claims to believe, because Buddy Johnson has flip-flopped so much on what, I mean, when I first met him, supposedly he claimed to be hardcore identity, but I'm telling you, he's told me several times that if you keep the laws, you're not free, and the laws are done away with, and as long as you're white, you're right, but I don't know what the hell Buddy believes now, I really don't.
Oh, well, Pastor Buddy, he's a nice person, and he doesn't get on people. What happens is Pastor John Britton had been pretty well, you know, groaning a couple times. Of, I wish Buddy Johnson would forget my name and email address. You know what I mean? Because, you know, Pastor Buddy, you know, believed in the Ephraim Scepter horse shit. And,
Buddy introduced me over the phone. He introduced me. He gave me the number of Newman Britton. Okay? I never would have got to talk to Newman Britton.
Well, Newman believed in Ephraim Scepter, too.
Yeah, I don't see. Here's the thing, okay? All this crap is coming from a bunch of Jews. All this crap about Judah being a black man, and look, let me tell you something, okay? You can't destroy the twelve tribes, okay? Now, how can Revelation 2:9, okay? Now, if you want to take that out of the Bible, then maybe you can teach that crap. How can you have a counterfeit tribe of Judah if they're not a legitimate tribe of Judah. Not all the tribe of Judah.
Well, there's a legitimate tribe of Judah. The Jews ain't it, though.
But what I'm saying is, there's a lot of people saying that all of Judah is Jew devils, that there is no pure white tribe of Judah.
Mm. Well, fine. Well, go ahead and say whatever you want. You know, I don't really, I only care.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying supposedly in so-called identity, okay, a lot of people teach that crap.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the point to the show. Essentially, you have all these people coming in, and essentially what I call is every dog has his dogma. And they come in, and they got to bring their crap with them. You know what I mean? That's why I have somewhat of an advantage in that when, essentially, you know, my dad took me up to the Connor Hotel back when there was a Connor Hotel, and they had Rollin Tucker, who was one of the ministers of Herbert Armstrong's church, who essentially left, along with a bunch of other ones later on, about 10 years or so, later. And essentially, he was a charming man, had a real nice voice, real nice speaking voice. He was the minister of the Joplin. It used to be the Joplin and Springfield Church, and then they got divided soon after to the Joplin Church, the Joplin Church and the Springfield Church. And folks, here I was, a few weeks before. It was in early December of 1968, I believe. Looking back, 1968, just for my 11th birthday. And essentially, here I was, and I didn't have too much, my mom would go to this Pentecostal church, and she would, essentially what happens is I'd, promise to sit still, and she would buy me a popsicle or two after, in return, I would get a treat for being, for behaving myself at the Pentecostal church. You know what I mean? And I wasn't really a hellion too much, although I had quite a will that, day. And here my dad took my brother Mike and took me, to this church. So as a result, I end up learning the basics, at least of British Israelitism. And, what happens is that I got to go ahead and look to where I end up having this show. Now, this show started 2 years ago, and essentially it was about Jeremy Visser, and essentially him bringing all these Stephen Mansers in. And what the heck is going on? And yet, Open Gender Benders show up. And essentially, what the hell is going on within Christian Identity? And, that's what this show started out 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Well, folks, the more you go ahead and you look and look and look and listen, you have all these people claim to be Christian Identity, but what they're doing is I don't really think they are Christian Identity. They're going ahead and they're anything but Christian Identity. So as a result of what you end up seeing, you're going to have, if you're above ground Christian Identity, I call it the wandering mansers of Wikipedia, talks to Wikipedia Christian Identity. It's wall to wall mansers, it's wall to wall Jews, it's wall to wall Zogbots, and essentially frauds and flakes, and they all come in and they got to go ahead, even when they're sincere. They've got to go ahead and bring in the Judeo horseshit that they came in with. And they can't go ahead and simply let it be. They can't understand is that, I'm no longer a Baptist. I'm no longer a Baptist. I don't need to believe in an ever-burning hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I don't need to believe that I have an immortal soul. I no longer need to go ahead and believe the stuff that I used to believe. Essentially, I've gone ahead, and along with repentance, I have turned over a new leaf. And, folks, every single one of them insists that they are right and that everybody else is wrong. And I have the advantage in that, essentially, I'm living in what is probably the biggest assortment of Christian Identity, in the nation. And as a result, I see all these people believing in somewhat different things. They believe, essentially, Christian Identity is just the belief that white people are the lost tribes of the House of Israel. And the vast majority of them comes from British Israelitism, comes from, Herbert Armstrong in this area.
Yeah.
And essentially, I can't find it in my heart to go ahead and scream at Russ because he believes in Ephraim's scepter. I mean, I did let Russ have pretty well his entire say about, what does Genesis 49:10 mean? And he said, well, Judah has a scepter until Shiloh. I said, okay, so what does Shiloh mean? He means, well, when there's peace and security. I said, well, ain't no peace and security. So I guess, essentially, Judah has a scepter until Christ's second coming. Oh, yeah. I said, well, why do you believe in Ephraim's scepter then? I mean, essentially, you said that Judah has a scepter until Christ's second coming, and Christ hasn't come, so, you know, you should be Judah's scepter, shouldn't you?
Okay, now, if you read, here's the thing. Okay, all this this crap is coming from Jew devils like Scott Vaughn, a bunch of people that...
Scott Vaughn. That's another, what happened?
Scott Vaughn is basically the Finkelstein of Oklahoma.
Okay, well, what happens is that he'll go ahead. What happens, Russ will go ahead and he will email Finkelstein, he will email Eli James, he'll email about 40 different other people, and Scott Vaughn is one of them here. So this Scott Vaughn is some character out of Oklahoma then?
Scott Vaughn used to be good friends with Buddy Johnson. I don't know if they still are. Well, I guess they still are. That's where I got his number from Buddy, and I called him up because everybody said, oh, he's the expert on Paleo-Hebrew. Well, the guy that taught him was that a Jewish rabbi, basically. He grew up in the synagogue and then converted to Messianic, just like Brother Nathaniel.
Yeah.
His name was Shmuel ben Aaron Wally. Shmuel ben Aaron Wally.
Whatever.
Okay. Now, I called that bozo up too, and he admitted he was a Jew devil. Then I called Scott Botta, and I said, did you blaspheme Jonathan and King David and all that, and blaspheme Yahweh, and said that Judah was all mongrel, and that Tamar was a whore, that Jonathan and David were homosexuals? And I mean, he was doing all this in front of Paul Burnham and Jim Wickstrom, and they cussed him out. Paul Burnham said that he was a Jew devil and a blasphemer, and he was going to go straight to hell.
So is he a Jew devil?
Huh?
Is he a Jew devil?
I've never seen him in person. But I called him up. He denied the Bible. He denied everything. He lied. I caught him in so many damn lies it wasn't even funny. And so basically, I cut ties with him. And I told Buddy that too. Okay.
Well, what happens? See, what Russell will do here is that he'll go ahead. There was about 100 things here. Same stupid emails. Tamar was a whore. Was the name of the subject line, and
okay,
essentially.
Okay, here's the thing about Rustfer. Rustfer's very naive.
He believes
whatever anybody tells him. I mean,
sometimes he believes what the last person, what the last person told him. Russ believes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
And the thing is, okay, I told him, I said all these people teaching Jeffers and Scott Bob, they're blaspheming Yahweh, blaspheming the tribe of Judah. I said, I don't buy all that. Of course, he's not going to tell me that, but he doesn't have, he don't want to go back to them and break ties with them and not be friends with them anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I cut ties with people. If somebody's blaspheming Yahweh and they don't want to repent, and especially, if they're a wigger, they need to repent. But if they're a mongrel or a Jew devil, I'm not going to hang out with them anymore.
Well, about 2 months ago, two months and a half ago, here's Russ. He tells us Nathaniel Kaplan here, well, I can't believe you're a Jew. You have such a wonderful voice. I'm like, thank you. He has a harsh voice here, which grates on my ear, and he quotes this thing from, I forget where he quotes it from, but he quotes it all the time here. You can't be a Jew. You got a wonderful voice. And then here comes Kaplan saying, well, what happens, both my parents were Jews, and 3 out of 4 of my grandparents were Jews, too, and, the other grandparent was half a Jew, and essentially, yes, I'm a Jew. And Russifer goes ahead, he's so artless, he goes ahead and sends me that email, too, along with about 30 other people here, and I go ahead, and I look at it, and I laugh at it, and I shake my head, say, Russifer, See, Russifer here, I mean, Well, I go ahead and add an I fur here. Essentially, what happens, I'm saying you're somewhat of a wigger doofus here. Sometimes I call him Russifer. Sometimes I'll call him Baby Huey to his face here. But, and Russ asks, what does Baby Huey mean? He says, well, what it means is that you're fat, dumb, and happy here, and you're an Israelite totally without guile here. And Russ thought it was funny here. So, Oh well, but I do like it. I really do love Russ here. I mean, he's a sweet man, you know. But you know, I mean, I've learned not to tell Russ for anything that I don't want repeated to 30 or 40 other people. So essentially, when I'm going ahead and shitting on Eli James or Finkelstein, I'll go ahead and send Russ. I'll go ahead and make sure that I send Russ for a copy, and Russ will go ahead and spread it around here, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I do like Russ, but you know, he just goes ahead. Russ has a whole bunch of notions too.
Okay, I'm trying to educate him. Okay, now,
well, I don't know. Good luck.
I've helped him out on some things, but he's not ready to break ties with Scott Vaughn and all these other people.
Oh well.
I'm not gonna. Hey! I'm not gonna convince him that Judah is all Jewish. Okay, he doesn't want to hear that. So that's fine. He can believe that lie, but he knows I don't. I'm not gonna believe that lie. Okay.
Well, you end up having.
I mean, okay. So basically, they want to destroy the tribe of Judah and will it down to 11. But basically, they just want to say there's only 10 tribes. Okay. Well, if you read Revelation, there's 12 tribes and Judah's one of them. So what the hell's going on here? Come on. I mean, basically, they had to throw out about 70-80% of the Bible, or 90 or 95, and now they want to follow Joseph Jeffers because he's God now or something. I mean, come on, these people are insane.
Well, I didn't really know who Joseph Jeffers was here. He's not really into the movement here. He's just some lying bail priest, you know, who croaked off a number of years ago. I mean, he's not really much of interest.
Over his ministry, though, Philip Evans is running out of Prescott, Arizona, and that guy's a total nut job. I've never seen a picture of Philip Evans. I talked to him, but Joseph Jeffers, if you go look at Joseph Jeffers, he's got Dumbo ears, sloping forehead, he's got a bald nose, he looks just like Lyndon Baines Jewson. I'm serious.
Okay. Well, okay. Anyway, I do like Russ. I really do like Russ. It's just that I recognize Russ has a number of doctors.
Russ will listen. I mean,
Russ will listen. It's just that no matter if you go ahead and use reason or logic, I mean, you know, 5 minutes later, he just dusts himself off and he's back to repeating the same old stupid shit here. So essentially, I've given up on trying to teach Russ for anything. You know what I mean? Russ knows what's going on.
I mean, I can't convince him, so he can believe. I mean, if he wants to believe some more shit, but you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, me and him agree on a lot of stuff, but we definitely don't agree on that, and that's fine. But see, the thing is, he's never come to me with proof. All he's doing is supporting these other people that are putting out this crap, but he can't prove it. You see. He's just going along with the crowd, you know. I guess the peer pressure, the mentality, or whatever. I'm not going to look. I mean, when I was on the feast days, I looked up to all these people. I thought they were sincere, okay, and I found out they were full of crap, you know, some of these people in my identity. Look, if they can't prove to me from Scripture what they're teaching, and if I can prove them wrong, I mean, if they don't want to listen and they got an agenda or something, I mean, you know, I'm not going to sit there and give my time and money and you know, I'm just moving on, man. Come on. I mean,
well, I haven't given too many people my time, and I've given even less people my money. I mean,
yeah.
But you have all these, you know, I mean, this is what I'm trying to point out. You have all these people, they come into Christian identity. Most of them are in their, what, 30s or 40s or 50s?
Hey, Southwest Missouri wants to talk on the phone.
Okay. Well, which guest is he here?
Well, I think he's got a block, but he wants to talk in the chat room.
Alrighty. Well, hey, I don't know. Have we pretty well covered? I'll go ahead.
Call back in. I'm just gonna look. I'm gonna hang up, and I'm gonna start my show tomorrow night. And if you want to call in, we can kind of pick up some of these topics.
Okay, that's what we're gonna do.
I like help Victor, and I think somebody else needs to talk.
Yeah, I'll probably go ahead and unblock Southwest Missouri after about a 5 minute break here or 2 minute break. But first, we're gonna go ahead and take a break. And Logan, I was glad you could go ahead and call in and hail Victor. Okay.
All right, hell, Victor.
All right, bye-bye. Okay. Well, it looks like the phone has gone dead. Folks, we're going to go ahead, and I'm going to take about a 2 or 3 minute break here so you don't hear audio. And then I'm going to go ahead and unmute Southwest Missouri here when we come back. Okay? Get with you, folks. Okay, 28 minutes. So, let's see. What do we have? Okay. All right. Linda Lou left the chat. Thank you. I see that. Okay. All right. Well, I went ahead and unmuted Southwest, and I pretty well got my MP3 player. I went ahead and recorded it. Went ahead and did it. Anyway, we'll go ahead and since I unmuted Southwest, Southwest, did you want to go ahead and call in or you'll say something?
Yeah, this is Breck, Pastor Lindstedt.
This is
Breckenridge Elkins. From
Southland,
and Bear Barrel. How are you doing? I'm pretty
well. How's yourself? Well, from what I get, last I knew, you were over on what the heck is the name? That screwed up little Jew boy, Kane 1234566.
Well, I've been all over the place, but I have 3 points on your show tonight. This being a white show, I'm just here to clarify 3 points.
Okay.
On your last broadcast, I think, or the broadcast before that, you referred to me as a homosexual. I'd like to correct that. I am not a homosexual, and I guess I can't really furnish proof to that effect, but I would like to correct that substantiation. And
okay. All right. The answer, let me go ahead. Essentially, I obviously have no way to know one way or another that you're a homosexual. I mean, it's not as if, we've come on to each other. So as a fact here, let me go ahead and apologize, and just simply go ahead and clarify is that essentially that is what is said about you or was said about you on Stumble In, on Beer Barrel, or as I call it, the Monkey Barrel. And I don't know if it was said on another place here or Four Fag Seed. So essentially, I'm going to take you at your word that you're not a homosexual, okay?
Okay,
right?
That's fine. Note that the very same people that are always referring to you as a child molester are the exact same people who call me homosexual. So let's just note that for the record as well. The second issue I had is you were going to talk about Glenn Miller or that guy Glenn Miller. And basically, back in 07, we went out and protested Rudy Giuliani when he came to Mount Vernon. And I think Glenn Miller, you call him Traitor Glenn, he showed up in his uniform or whatever and was telling folks he was a Green Beret or whatever, which I don't know if he was or not. But basically, at the time, I told them the Ron Paul folks that he really was not somebody we wanted to associate with because of his record working with the federal government. And after that, he kept his hand out of the deal. Now, his daughter-in-law was with us, and she was a delegate to the district convention over in Bear City, I guess. And I'm in... he's going to be involved again this time over in Lawrence County, but he himself is not really involved, and as far as I'm aware of, he's not supposed to be, nobody's supposed to tell him anything or, get involved. And the reason we're doing this Ron Paul effort, basically, or at least I'm doing it, is so we can fracture the Republican Party and do a little damage to them, try to break up the party system a little bit. Not trying to elect Ron Paul, but it's
I have a quick question here. Do you know this Lloyd Smith? He's from Cassville. He's an executive director of the Missouri Republican Party. Still is.
I didn't know he was from Cassville.
Well, that's pretty well what happened is that when I went up there on March 30th, 2010 to file for United States Senator as a Republican candidate, essentially, you had these little weasels who were at the, Republican Party headquarters. One of them ran over there, went ahead and essentially notified Lloyd, Lloyd Smith, and supposedly I think he's from, from my Gary, he's from Cassville or something like that here. Or at least that's what I heard.
I think. Basically, you may be thinking of David Cole, who is the state chairman. He's from Cassville, and he would have had some say in that. And David Cole is a bit of a weasel. I'm on the Derrick County Republican Committee, so I know him and he knows me. And yeah, he looks like a weasel even, but
well, you might, you know, what happens is my lawsuit went to, you know, went up to the 8th, you know, U.S. Circuit Court. Essentially, they're sleazing me. They're not asking for a brief. But pretty well what I have to say is that essentially don't trust, you know, libertines, don't trust Republicans, don't trust Democrats, because thanks to Trader Glenn Miller, I believe in 2006, his job was, at least while I was in the Nut House, you know, was to go ahead and try to run for, instance, a Democrat, as a Republican, as a Libertarian, and set it up to where Revised Statute of Missouri 115.357 can be used to go ahead and deny overt white supremacists the ability to go ahead and run for public office, you know, either state or federal in Missouri. Since you are on the Republican, you know, committee here, you know, Trader Glenn Miller, when I first met him, it was in the summer, July of 2000. And here's these idiots. They still will talk about, you know, poor, you know, Pat Buchanan. He got kicked off of MSNBC, the Obongo Channel. He's a, you know, certified racist. Well, that cocksucker went ahead and denounced me and denounced another character named Richard Master out of Idaho. But mainly me, you know, as a racist here. I mean, if I come to Missouri, I will go ahead and boycott Missouri if Livingston gets elected to the Reform Party you know, chairmanship. And what happens is in 2000, here's Trader Glenn Miller trying to go ahead and weasel his way into the USTP. You know, I was with that for a little while, you know, that, you know, before it became the Constitution Party and then the Reform Party. And he actually went to this convention in Nashville, the Nashville Convention, and that was when Pat Buchanan's little targe took over the party. And, you know, Pat Buchanan's just a lying whore. He went ahead and essentially he went ahead and chose a Looney Tune coon named Ezola Foster. I call her Ebola Gaines. And essentially, throughout this thing, you've had the Republicans, and they act like white, you know, white racists are their vote. But essentially, when you have a real white racist like me, well, guess what? We can't go and have them make us look bad, or libertines. And essentially, you know, pretty well my attitude is that if a Republican senator or governor or anybody goes ahead because they have gone ahead and kicked me off the ballot as a white supremacist, that means that, you know, white people have no obligation to essentially obey a Republican office holder, and they have no obligation to go ahead and pay taxes to this government because essentially it's gone ahead and denied us representation. But anyway, you probably see quite a bit of stuff. I mean, you are an Indian then? You know, you're not a homosexual, but you are an Indian then, right?
Yeah, okay. Three quarters or thereabouts.
Okay.
Now, I had one more point, and like I said, I'm a Republican committee man. That doesn't mean I support Republicans. I'm there to do damage. I'll say on your broadcast, at least, I'm not there to help elect Republicans or anything. But my last point is addressing your deal with the city of Granby.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Granby has adopted the International Building Code that's come through Southwest Missouri. A lot of these small towns are doing that so they can get federal grants and federal aid and so on. But it sounds to me, I went through this process with the city of Cassville in 2000, oh, I guess it was 2009, and you really need to see if what codes they have on the books and see if you can get them repealed, because I guarantee you, if the folks in Granby, even the most apolitical types, knew what was in the International Building Code, they would support its repeal.
Well, Neosho, I'd seen this sort of thing, you know, mentioned as international zoning or something like that. In Granby, what happens is it's not a matter of international things. What it is, it's a matter of thieving Anglo mestizos going ahead, and essentially ordinary poor people cannot go ahead and put in a single wide or a double wide if they don't want the thing in. And, you know, but what happens is that one of their little relatives wants to put a trailer house in, they can go ahead and put it in. And, you know, if they want to go ahead and tear down these buildings that have been there since, well, for the past 50, 60 years, you know, I mean, they'll go ahead, you know, do whatever they want. The thing about it is that I went ahead and paid the city water bill and sewer and gas bill. And essentially, they didn't want to hear a single thing about it. I went ahead and went to the municipal judge and told them that essentially you have these people who have gone ahead and made these laws, but they don't intend to support it themselves. So it don't have anything to do with the national code. Essentially, it's just a bunch of thieving, you know, inbreds who essentially want to go ahead and, you know, go ahead and bother people with their local pigs or something like that here. But, yeah,
but
it comes
under planning and zoning. And they,
yeah,
under
cover of planning and zoning.
Those locals all sit on the planning and zoning committee. And, you know, we're in the process, or some folks I know in McDonald County are trying to get rid of their local planning and zoning committee so they can't work in favor of their relations or their family members or whatever, you know, commit nepotism like that, because, you know, that's what's going to happen inevitably.
Well, I mean, Granby, you have this here tax incremental financing thing here. And essentially what happens is that these, you know, most of these buildings to the north of me and to the west of me, essentially they're in the name, you know, my portion was given to my nephews and nieces and all this here. And essentially I don't even have control, or I don't even know where these people are anymore. And, you know, essentially it was just go ahead, let's go ahead and mess with Linstead. Then Linstead comes up, shows up, chews on their ass, tells them that they're, you know, if they keep it up, you know, they're not going to go ahead and win. They're just going to go ahead and get another federal lawsuit. And essentially, I think they sort of backed off. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
easiest way, I mean, you know, back in the 1990s, I had three federal lawsuits, and it all came down, essentially, it all boiled down from a fist fight on August 9th, 1994, here, which I called the Pig License Council Quitter Riot. So, you know, a city councilman, you know, sort of attacked me. I went ahead and punched him back. And then essentially I got, you know, they all jumped on top of me here, four or five of them. And there was about three federal lawsuits. And it went through, you know, took about 3-4 years, cost a whole bunch of money. Their insurance rates went up. And essentially pretty well the people in Granby went ahead and turned out these retards on the city council, because they said, look, you idiots, all you're doing is essentially just, you know, causing lawsuits and for the insurance rate to go ahead and go up, 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 up. I mean, you know, you're not getting anything that you're not doing anything to Winston other than maybe, oh, giving them a cut lip here. And essentially you have all these lawsuits. And that happened for a while. That happened for a while here. And then, you know, here it goes about 10 years later. Well, I guess they think the coast is clear to go ahead and screw with me again. So I go down there and I chew on their ass. I go ahead and talk to the municipal judge, you know, tell them is that, hey, you know, I mean, you can do whatever the heck you want to, but essentially, you know, why do you want to go ahead and bring a whole bunch of litigation when essentially these people are not obeying their own laws, and I can say unequal, you know, essentially make a civil rights issue of it. I mean, you know, maybe your best bet here, and I went ahead and said this, I'm not the only one who has the right to go ahead and have these old buildings. So does everybody else. And from what I gather, you know, essentially old Donna Fullerton and Scott Whitman's horseshit sort of, I guess it's on abeyance right now. I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but in any case, there are a lot of people who are scared shitless of me because, well, I mean, I just told them that I'd love to have an excuse to go exterminate you and your family. I mean, I really hate you bastards. And they believe me here. So then they, I mean, you remember on Stumbling where you had old Stevie Buck and essentially old Will Ragnar went ahead and found out around where in Arkansas he was hiding at his mother's basement. And essentially old Stevie Buck supposedly called the FBI, you know, saying the escaped mental patient was threatened to shoot him in the head. And I said, I never threatened to shoot you in the head. I threatened to geld you on the Jerry Springer show. There's a difference between that and Stevie Buck. He's back over on the NF now. But you have all these idiots running around here. And anyway, so is it difficult for you to go ahead in a Republican? I mean, I imagine if you were running as a, you know, wanted to go ahead and become a Democrat committeeman, you could pretty well have you can pretty well have your choice, you know, without even, you know, have you ever had to run against anybody as a Republican select man or what? Committeeman?
Committeeman. It's a party official, and I've never had to run or anything like that because almost nobody knows the party exists. The party committee exists, and I'll actually be going over in February to go around and talk to the Tea Parties and so on about the role of the committee man, how people can take over their county party, be it Democrat or Republican, by just getting folks to run for this position or just file for it because a lot of precincts are empty.
Yeah.
And you go and, you know how it works. You've been through the process with parties.
Well,
Libertarian, whatever.
I mean, you know, with the Libertoon Party, essentially that's how I go ahead and, you know, I mean, the local Republican Party, you know, Nick Myers, he's a crooked cocksucker who essentially has made it real good. Back in 2002, he sort of cut me off here when I was running against No Talent, and the cocksucker went ahead and cut me off. And, you know, Nick Myers was the treasurer among our people for this character named Jake Kanzler. So I said, you know, he was running for treasurer against Al Hansen. And I said, are you going to go ahead and allow him to go ahead and do that? Oh, I don't have any control of him. I said, well, shoot, says that, you know, he's your campaign finance chairman. Don't you have any control over him? No, I don't have. So I went ahead and said, Kanzler, that sounds like a Jew name. So I went ahead and sort of started a whispering campaign of be smarter than Jesus Christ. Don't go ahead and elect a Jew to be treasurer. And what happened, this guy named Al Hansen won, and then after the election, here they find out that Al Hansen had been 15 years previously indicted on security fraud in Iowa. So essentially the stupid Republicans went ahead and said, don't vote for Al Hansen, who won the primary. Vote for Claire McCaskill. So Claire McCaskill got in real easy. And then once she got in, she was able to go ahead and go, you know, because the auditor's job is on a different schedule than the governor's and the rest of the job. So she was able to go ahead and go against Bob Holden in 2004, and she lost to Bob Holden, but caused a good deal of trouble for Bob Holden. And Bob Holden lost to old, you know, Matt Blunt here. And then in 2006, she went ahead and finished off old No Talent. You know what I mean? And what was pretty well pissing everybody off in 2000, 2002, 2004, 2006, is that the race, you know, for the big offices of U.S. Senator and governor, in some cases, were decided by less than a fraction of a point. Remember? And so as you know, here I am running as an open racist white man telling them, hey, don't vote for a Republican candidate here because they don't give a crap about white people, you know, and essentially that's what caused them. Trader Glenn Miller, has been getting in ever since he got out of the Federal Witness Protection Program. He hung around the USTP. He hung around the Reform Party, and that's where I ended up, you know, sort of knowing him. And pretty well, he showed up in August 2001, and I'd gotten Marveline Pankey elected chairwoman of the Missouri Reform Party by essentially causing a division between the Buchananites and the Probots, and they sort of thought they could go ahead and rule Marveline Pankey. Well, Marveline Pankey is freaking nuts, and she will not be ruled by anybody. Essentially, at the Reform Party convention, you had the Buchananites going ahead and essentially in with the, you know, what was left of the Probots. Essentially, what they decided to do was take over the Reform Party by going ahead and having a no-exception abortion, you know, compromise. And essentially, I was actually elected from the 7th Congressional District. So was this character named Doc Keller, and we went down there. He wanted to go down there to fight, and he wanted to chicken out. And essentially, we went down there and we fought. And essentially, there was a lot of fraud going involved, and there was this Jew named Dan Charles. He was a Jew. He formed this American First, you know, party, and the character was a Jew. And essentially, here are these Buchananites, and what they do is that they, between the two of them, vote, essentially, you know, agree that essentially the Missouri delegations and the California delegations will be kicked out by vote of all the other state parties. And essentially, that's the way it went here. And here's this Greg Roberts who tells me this, you know, that night, because essentially I went in and pointed out to the Credentials Committee is that, hey, I was actually elected to be the 7th Congressional, you know, delegate. It ain't just simply rent a mob to go ahead and go there. I was actually elected according to law. You know, and so was, you know, so was Doc Keller. Now, he brought in a bunch of, you know, we were sort of late because he went ahead and found somebody who claimed to be Aryan Nations, and the guy got yellow fever about 60 miles into Illinois, so we had to go ahead and take him back, and that lost us 2.5 hours, 120 miles. But since we got there, then I'm told that this is going to happen. So the old Doc Keller, his daddy came from Iowa, so he decides to spend the night, and there, you know, there's a big old room with two beds here. He was supposed to go ahead and bring three people here, and I was supposed to go in there and, you know, do most of the fighting. And what happens, he goes ahead and he spends the night with his daddy here. So I expect, I hear a knock on the door, a scratching on the door, and I'm just clad in just my rather skinny mini underwear. And what happens, I hear a scratching noise at the door. I open up the door, and here is a little black woman, and essentially her bellboy had gone ahead and taken her to a different room, but essentially has the same four numbers. And she sort of goes ahead and scratches. She's sort of scratching at the door here, trying to get her key to work. It ain't working. Here, you know, here's a big old white man. I'm 6'2", and she's what, about maybe 5'6", little black woman. And she's just shocked. She said, "Oh my!" And it says, "Aren't you, you know, I didn't call her Ebola Gaze like I used to. I called her, aren't you Ezola Foster, Pat Buchanan's running mate?" "Oh yeah. But don't tell him I tried to air the room of a strange white man." And I said, "Well, I'm not that strange." And what happens is that essentially of all the rooms she had to make a mistake in, it was the guy, there was the room of the guy who her running mate had denounced for racism, had denounced said vile, bigoted, you know, prejudice and all that. And the next day, I was kind and I was polite to her. I got her to admit that she accidentally tried to enter my room. And what happens is it made the front page of the Nashville, Tennessee, and the main paper there, and essentially it made the Reform Party look like a bunch of clowns who couldn't get along. And that's exactly what it was. So I went ahead and used that as best I could here. So I've had some political ability to go ahead and cause mischief. And that is many reasons, the reason that I think that essentially it wasn't just the local pigs who were trying to go ahead and have me murdered for child molestation, sent to prison, and all that. I mean, essentially, I think it was at the state level. I think it was actually at the federal level because I had a friend who essentially was told to denounce me or else he would be, you know, lose his pension and be kicked back to England or something like that. So, you know, in any case, you know, this system, well, I think you know, is that most of the Republicans there are just a bunch of thieving Whiggers who are, you know, doing as best they can to go ahead and just do some local thieving here, just like Nick Myers and the rest, right?
Oh, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, like I said, Nick Myers has really stepped on a lot of toes lately, and some folks have asked me to advise them on trying to take over the Newton County Party. I don't know whether they will or not. I don't think much of them, but they're pretty much standard Republicans, and they just had enough of him. But anyway, that's basically my 3 points and my 2 cents on things. So I appreciate you hearing me out.
Well, of course. In fact, I went ahead and yakked too much. Are you still doing Talk Show or Blog Talk or anything like that?
Not right now. We're probably going to start up again, Jacob Israel and Kane and myself. But right now I'm on hiatus because I'm working for the Ron Paul campaign.
Okay. Well, generally what I would do is Ron Paul doesn't want to be known as a white supremacist or anything like that. But you are right. You know, keep Traitor Glenn Miller. Traitor Glenn Miller is a drunken old Anglo mestizo who wants to go ahead and rub his sores on everybody he possibly can. Essentially, he went ahead and I think had played a big part in getting this guy named Kevin Harpham, you know, VNNF, put, you know, get the full 32 years. I mean, you know, folks, Trader Glenn Miller is bad news. I think he was snitching on people back when he was in the Army. I think he was going after Klansmen. I used to have a little bit of more hatred for him because I sort of thought he went ahead and sent some Christian Identity people, but then looking at his eyes, you know, the character's a Mamzer. What, you know, what are you doing with a, you know, with a drunken Mamzer, drunken Indian? You know, no offense, Matt, or anything like that here. You might go ahead and make sure you keep somewhat of a, you know, keep some of a barrier to old Kane, because Kane's a sort of screwed up Jew boy. He has some.
Well,
I
would give him my personal information or anything. No. He's kind of fished for it, but no, I'm not going to do that. But Kane has his uses, you know. I'm not saying I'm going to use him against anybody, but he does have his uses.
Well, what he did, this is hilarious. He went ahead, and for whatever reason, he found out Brian Reel's Zuqua.com profile, and he went ahead and gave it to Pastor John Britton, and then Pastor John Britton gave it to me, and Pastor John Britton thought that Brian Reel, it was a gay Turkish website here, and we was trying to figure, you know, and I said, no, I think it's a gaming site. You know, I mean, I think it's a gaming site. It used to be a gaming site, and then some Turks bought it or something here. And essentially, here, we're, you know, this was the beginning of that. And old Kane went ahead and finked out, you know, essentially Brian Reel. Well, later on, Brian Reel got him to go ahead and take down the monkey barrel or the queer barrel or the, you know, the beer barrel. I call it the monkey barrel, you know, because what you end up having is you end up having old Allison, you end up having, you know, and Gelden hates my guts. He hates John Britton. He does not like me or John Britton. You know, old Bluto Puto, I think, is a Jew from Seattle. He don't like me either. And essentially when they're having this big fight with old Fade, I tried to go ahead and advise Fade not to go ahead and get involved in any lawyer thing, any other thing sort of thing. And Fade went ahead and he closed down his forum again here for the umpteenth time. And, see, all these people, they're not, you know, they don't have a plan. They just react to whatever here. And Kane is a sort of screwed up little Jew boy. I did go ahead, and I think he has some truth on his side here, you know. But on the other hand, he's not somebody you want to go, you know. I mean, he can be useful, and he was useful to me and Pastor John Britton. I mean, out of the blue, he went ahead and he went out of the blue. He just went ahead and sort of narked out old Brian Reel. But, you know, about, what, 2-3 months later, Brian Reel went ahead and told him how to go ahead and take it off of, you know, off of Bluehost or something like that, how to, you know, get it kicked off. So, I mean, essentially, you know, I don't work well with Jews here. And Kane, he sort of makes my trigger finger itch, but he sort of screwed up here. But anyway, you tell Jakob hello, and, you know, I'll tell within reservations Kane hello. But on the other hand, you know, I mean, I've sometimes thought of going ahead and registering, but on the other hand, I really don't want my IP number or anything like that here known to old Kane 1234566 here. So anyway, I'm glad you could call in, Breck.
Well, thank you, and have a good evening, Pastor, and hope
and
your show goes
you're
well.
Welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome anytime to go ahead and call in, and I'm going to wish you, you know, Nick Myers, he got his daughter, Vicky. You know, she pretty well had control of the license offices here for about 4 years. And Matt Blunt went ahead. He only had a 1 year term. He's going to go ahead and lose to old Jay Nixon, and whatever tard the Republicans bring up is going to lose to Jay Nixon too. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm hoping so. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what happens? I despise Jay Nixon. He's a piece of shit too.
Well, yeah, I don't want him to win either, but it'll make things worse.
Yeah, but in any case, what happens is that whatever tard they go ahead and set up, it's just that What happens, Nick Myers has put his nose deeply in the slop, deeply in the slop trough, and there might, generally that's what's going to go ahead and maybe cost them if anything does. But I think I think Nick Myers pretty well has his finger, pretty well on everything in Newton County here, and he's been pretty well big, and he's pretty well offered, he's a CPA, and he's offered to be, he's big buddies with this Brian Stevenson character. They used to have an office, together until a tornado finished it off over on 20th Street in Joplin. And I'm not quite sure here. I mean, I have no love for Nick Myers at all. He's a real piece of shit. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and let you go, and I was glad you could call in, Breck, okay?
Hey, okay, have a good evening.
All right, well, hail victory, and you have a good one, and I hope you, some of your shows have been interesting. So I'm going to go ahead and say hail victory, and I'm glad you could call in, Breck, okay? All right. Well, it looks like Breck has gone ahead and left. So I'm going to go ahead and take another break. It looks like it's 11 o'clock. I'm going to go ahead and take another break so that the talk show can go ahead and catch up. So hail victory, folks. Okay, folks, we're back. Generally, what I want to go ahead and talk, I mean, if you end up having, the name of the show is Every Dog Has a Stogma. And the thing about it is that there are more and more people coming into Christian identity. More and more coming into what they think is Christian identity. What they're doing is that they are looking, like Matthew 14:88 here. Now, you talk about militias, talk about American third position things here, all this other thing here. And what they're doing is they are trying to go ahead and come into something which used to have meaning in the old world of what used to be. I remember the feeling back in 1994 is that, yes, things were bad here. You end up having this worthless president who had gone ahead, passed the Brady Bill, he passed all these magazine things here. And, folks, I'm going to go ahead, and somebody's going to go ahead and buy me a book called To Shake Their Guns in the Tyrant's Faces by this guy named Churchill, which Red Mike Vanderkite goes ahead and talks quite a bit about. Now, folks, I remember in the original militia movement, at least in Missouri, you had about six or eight or half a dozen militias, and they were all white people. They were all white people who knew each other, and essentially, of course, they were racist. And it wasn't until what? Oh, after Oklahoma City, where you have all these suburban Wiggers, and they've got to go ahead and bring in their nigger militias from their central, from the central brigade in Kansas City or something like that here. And Wiggers end up, they always have to go ahead and elect a minority or, just like in, we went up in early March. Well, no, in late March. Supposedly Janet Reno was going to go ahead and round up all the militia types here, like us. And this was an open public militia. And they were trying to go ahead and call it constitutional militia. Go ahead and say that essentially, we are constitutional militia. Well, folks, there is no such thing as a constitutional militia. Because the reason that, Patrick Henry and George Mason did not like the, they were anti-federalists. And what Patrick Henry spent about volume 3 of what was called the Eliot Debates, of these papers in the, ratifying legislative, conventions to go ahead and ratify, up or down the Constitution, pretty well about a third of it was Patrick Henry saying, how are you going to go ahead if you're going to take away these militias and essentially put them under control of the state, but they can be called up any time by the federal government? Essentially what you're doing away with is the states and people's militia. And that's exactly what the heck has been going on. I read Mike Vanderkite is claiming now, he's sort of gotten used to the fact that essentially as a SPLC militia general, he's got to go ahead and point out that even racists have a right to be racist. But like Breckinridge Elkins I was trying to go ahead and point out, is that here you have the Missouri Republican Party that needs every white vote. To go ahead and prevent the Kansas City and St. Louis niggers and liberal wiggers from going ahead and not voting them. They need every single vote. But here they are saying that if you're white, you're openly white, you cannot run. If you're openly white, you can't go ahead and vote for a racist candidate because we're not going to allow them to go ahead and be on the ballot. Okay. So look, American Third Position Party, what makes you think that it's essentially, if it's to where white men are now openly not allowed to run for political office, what makes you think that your political party will ever mean anything? And the answer is it won't. It will not at all. That's why I sort of, I was listening to Harold Covington's show, and I'm glad he goes ahead and gets it out Wednesday night. But he's pointing out the truth is that the price of gasoline, the price of beef is going up. It's not going to go ahead and go down anytime soon. The cattle herd is at the lowest level ever. Even if the time when the gasoline should be the cheapest here in November, December, January, February, it's gone up because essentially you end up having these people threatening a war with Iran. And tonight, you know, on PBS, I was looking at this one woman and this stupid general named Keane going ahead, essentially, he's for staying in Afghanistan forever. If we leave Afghanistan, essentially, everything we work for will go ahead and disappear. Well, folks, everything you work for is shit. It's going to go ahead and disappear. So what you have now is that you have essentially this horse race. They're going through the motions and don't mean nothing. Essentially, I used to think that old Newton, you know, Newt might go ahead and win. He might win the primary, but essentially what boils down to essentially is that old Mittens Palooka Romney is essentially buying this election. He went ahead and says that he's not worried about the poor. Well, he never was worried about the poor. He's worried about the middle class. Well, guess what? There is no middle class. You can't have a middle class once you end up having middle class wages able to go ahead and produce more and more white children. Here I am going ahead and looking, going to the Walmart, you see more and more beaners. Essentially, end up having more Uyghurs, you know, Uyghurses and Anglo Mestizos with little, you know, little brown babies. How's that going to go ahead? How's that going to go ahead and do anything here? Yeah, I know Clayton Douglas. Clayton Douglas is an ass clown, okay? Clayton Douglas actually doesn't believe he started the militia. He didn't. I mean, while I was going ahead and forming, you know, helping form militias, you know, two of them, one in Carthage, one in Springfield, I never heard of Clayton Douglas, okay? All these people say they formed the militia movement. Let me tell you what the militia movement was formed in. It was formed, and people like me went ahead and seen what happened in Waco, and essentially we were acting in reaction to it here. And we didn't hear of Clayton Douglas. We didn't hear of these other clowns, okay? By the way, Clayton, yeah, I've seen that here. Trump the chump went ahead and out, you know, endorsed Romney, Mittens Palooka. Okay? So, new name city Carthage. Carthage is one of the most common names. Carthage is one of the most common names here in the Midwest. There's a Carthage, Texas. There's a Jasper County, Texas. There's a Jasper, Texas. There's a Newton County, Arkansas. There's a Jasper County, you know, there's a Jasper and Jasper County, Arkansas. And Carthage is one of the more common names. Quite a bit of it here. I don't know if they name it Carthage in Massachusetts here, but there's quite a few Carthages. In Missouri, Texas, all over the place here. Okay. So, do you mean, you know, Gingrich? No, well, what happens is that Gingrich, essentially, you have all these people, and I don't know. In Missouri, you know, by the way, in Missouri, Missouri is going to have, next week is going to have its primary. And what happens, the Republicans have gone ahead and decided they're going to have a caucus, not a primary. The Libertines and Democrats have a presidential, primary. On the 7th. And from what I gather, I'm not sure they're actually going to have a primary election. I may go ahead and call up. But, here's Breck. And what he's done is that here he is, even in a Republican stronghold, essentially you don't have very many people running for committeeman. That's why way back in 2004, back in 2000, here's League of the South. We want to form our own party. Really? 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 Same thing I say, America's Third Position Party. What you do is you go ahead and you find you a minor party and you go ahead and take them over. Be it Libertoons, be it anything. You go ahead and you take over a weak right wing or whatever party. But you got to understand is the Republicans will go ahead and counter infiltrate a minor third party as well. That's exactly what happened with Pat Buchanan. He went ahead and took over the Reform Party. And heck, he wouldn't even pay for, he went ahead and he got, essentially got paid off. He got paid off $12.3 million from the presidential efforts of old, what, old, you know, Big Ears, Big Ears Perot. Because he ran in 1992, he ran in 1996, so here it is 2000. And essentially, he gets 12.3 in return for that quid pro quo. He goes ahead and gives most of the money to his sister Bay. And essentially, he goes ahead and makes sure that all these voters will not go ahead and vote for him and throw the election. Throw the election to Al Gore. I mean, if it just been Florida alone, these panhandle crackers from Florida, if they'd have voted for Buchanan, why, hey, Al Gore would have won in Florida. He'd have been the president. This is a close run thing. A close run thing. And what he did is he went ahead and deliberately chose. He wanted to go ahead and pick Alan Keyes here, you know, a nigger with credentials, Ambassador Keyes, to wherever. I think it was in some place in Africa here he was the ambassador to. He couldn't get Alan Keyes to go ahead and do that. Alan Keyes wanted to be the nigger president himself. You know, he went ahead and acted like Jesse Jackson or the, Herman Cain. You know, all these parties here, they have their nigger. And they go ahead, the nigger goes ahead and gets whatever he can get. And just like today or this year, the nigger goes ahead and he has so many white women and Anglo mestizo women running around. So he's got to go ahead and pay off. Okay? You know, it's just a nigger being a nigger. You know what I mean? So, where was I? What Buchanan did is that he was bought and paid for. And you go ahead and read these idiot threads, you know, by Star on Four Fags Feeds and over on the Monkey Barrel and over on Stumbling. Oh, Buchanan's so wonderful. Well, no, the cocksucker is not wonderful. He went ahead and denounced me for racism. And the thing about it is, what made the paper is that Buchanan still did not like me one bit. Here I was. And I despised him so much I couldn't even stand, you know, to go ahead and get close to him because I wanted to be the fast. You know what I mean? I decided not to go ahead and, you know, leave it up to temptation. But I went ahead and videotaped, lying bastard. And here is a whole little tards here talking about reform. And what they do is they vote away. They vote out people who were actually legally elected from their districts in Missouri, like myself, and in California. Now, they need enough votes there, so they went ahead and got Doc Keller to go ahead and go along with them. They passed the anti-abortion plank, and I tried to tell Doc Keller, go ahead and get on there, say you're going to go ahead and vote for the plank, and then vote no. Fuck them over. Well, Martin, you don't believe in abortion? I said, well, no, not for white women. I don't believe white women ought to be allowed to have an abortion. You know, but, hey, I'm thinking I'll be made mandatory for Jews and niggers. And I said, well, I don't want, you know, I said I'd be, you know, vote, you know, I said I'd go ahead and vote again. I'd vote for this no limitations abortion plaque here. And I said, well, yeah, I probably would have voted, too, for that. So essentially, they've gone ahead and screwed us here. And in politics, the only thing you do is you go ahead and you help your friends and you fuck your enemies. I want you to go ahead and vote against it. Well, he wouldn't. And they knew better than to go ahead and get me, let me go ahead, even though I was legally there. Well, guess what? After that 2001 convention, it's still mentioned in Wikipedia. Essentially, every single party came back. Because they voted out Marveline, too. And she was the actual elected. She was the actual elected chairman of the Missouri Reform Party. And folks, you have these small political parties, and essentially what you have is you have fifth and sixth rate politicians, be it libertoons. Libertoons don't believe in liberty. They wouldn't go ahead and allow me to run for United States Senator. They do not believe in liberty. Go to Claire, the wolf, jackal. Essentially, she talks about 101 things to do to a revolution, and essentially she does not like us racist Christian identity types. Not at all. Not at all. So what you have is that you have a social order to where even the ones who are supposedly against the side of government cannot stand up to one another. They've got to go ahead and make politically correct poses. They can't just be what they are. And same is with, you know, Chris Vandetti. You have all these people, they come in, and they talk sort of a bit piece out of the identity message. And, you know, here's Eli James. Well, Jews are evil. Jews are that here. Well, guess what? Last weekend, well, Canaan wasn't a Jew. He wasn't born of a Kenite woman. Well, yes, he was, according to dual seed line Christian identity orthodox. He was. Ham had a Jew. Well, she had a Kenite wife, Naama, Tubal-Cain's sister. But Eli James goes ahead and denies it, even though he goes ahead and admits that he does know better than that. Fink's going ahead and saying, if you're white, you automatically will be saved. Well, folks, most of Fink's characters are now, you know, not one bit white. Before I came here, Joe Pennsylvania will go ahead and give me an amen on that. I was over on Dan Johns, and Dan Johns didn't show up. I was guest number 10, and here you had all these tards, Falcon 1, Astrogoth. Essentially, all these characters are wanting to play white supremacists, they want to play white nationalists, and most of them, I bet, are just mamsers. They don't know how to act, they don't know how to behave at all. At all. Now, someone went ahead and asked, you know, are you going to go ahead and work with Keith? And the answer is probably not. You know, folks, I do think the Keith show is useful. And the reason I hung up on Keith is that essentially Keith went ahead, and I know I'm bad about talking. I know I'm very bad. Very, very bad. I'm a piss poor interviewer. I admit that. I really do admit that. Okay? But when I'm just simply saying, well, and essentially I end up getting chewed ass out on, well, no, Martin. You go ahead and interrupt me. Let me have my say. Well, Keith, you've had your say. And essentially what happens is that when you have your say, you want to go ahead and roll over any disagreement. Then here's old Jeremy Visser. And Visser doesn't mean to do me any favors, but he did me a favor because he went ahead and recorded what was said when guest number 7 calls up Keith on Skype and they don't remember that, you know, don't realize that they haven't terminated the call yet. And what, you know, what happens is that, well, Martin's a heretic. Martin ain't going to be saved because he doesn't believe in an ever-burning hell. He only believes, he doesn't fear God. He only believes in a war. He believes he's going to die anyway. Well, folks, every single one of us is going to die anyway. But no, I do not believe that you have an immortal soul. And no, I do not believe that you're going to burn in hell forever and ever and ever. And looking on the chat later on, I'm sort of annoyed that they pulled the Baptist trick of going ahead and taking certain scriptures, taking them out of context to go ahead and prove whatever the heck they want to prove, and they're not going ahead and looking up three up or three down, like in Ecclesiastes 3:21. They don't want to go ahead and read out verse 17, 18, 19, and 20. And that really gets annoying. Folks, the thing about it is that in a normal Christian identity congregation around here, Keith and guest number 7 probably wouldn't be invited to that small congregation in the first place. And if they went ahead and insisted that these people, because they believed whatever little notion they believed, were a bunch of heretics and that they would die, and because they're not saved and they're unconverted and they're this and they're that, essentially, they wouldn't be invited again. As they kept on with doing what they're doing, in some cases they get their ass whooped. Not fired forever and ever and ever. They just get their ass whooped right then and right there. Okay? And, folks, I mean, I had this one guy, you know, and the thing about it is that he went ahead and sent me an email, and I went ahead and republished it, but I took his name off. But the thing about it is, this guy went ahead and sent me a letter, was the fourth or fifth person who said the same thing. Especially, you cannot have a civilized discussion with Keith. Keith is determined that he's right and everybody else is wrong. And in many cases, I don't know, Keith really, you know, I mean, you know, it really was enlightening to go ahead and find out is that, well, hey, because I don't, folks, if I wanted to believe in pre-existence, and then from there to believe in reincarnation, I could join the Mormon Church. If I wanted to go ahead and believe in eternal damnation hellfire, I could go ahead and join, you know, its headquarters over here. Jimmy Swaggart was one of their ministers. I could go ahead and join John Ashcroft's Daddy's, you know, Daddy's Assemblies of Christ in Springfield. But I don't want to do that. I'm not interested in that because I'm not a Baptist. I'm not a Pentecost. You know, this is the thing about Pentecost here. A friend of mine, Jim Floyd, went ahead and told me is that 50 years ago, he called them Pentecostal litheads because they worked in the cotton gins next to niggers. And so they had white hair from all the cotton lint. What happens is that they used to hate niggers back in the 60s here and didn't want anything to do with them. Now, what they have nigger grandkids. I remember one of these litheads, an older one, he went up to League of South and he brought his nigger grandkids with him. League of South meeting. Essentially, nobody was going to go ahead and call them on that. And I didn't either, because I'm not a member of the League of the South. What I was trying to tell them was that, folks, if you want to go ahead and have some political power, what you do is you go ahead and you find the weakest party, the weakest minor party in the county. And what you do is you run for county, you go ahead and run for precinct committeeman. Then you go ahead and you form a county party, and then if need be, you go ahead and form a statewide legislative district with a number of other ones, especially if you're a rural racist, and there's plenty of them in Missouri. And what you do is that you can, if you know what you're doing, you can go ahead and take over that particular political party, that minor political party. And you can do it for a lot cheaper than what it costs to go ahead and get an initiative petition to go ahead and get your party put on the ballot. I used to have the Natural Law Party. You know, especially when you had the Natural Law and you had the Libertoons, they'd go ahead and finish each other out. But where was I? Anyway, folks, the time is becoming to where it's too late. It's too late to go ahead and go through the same motions. It's too late to go through the very self-same motions. Way too late. And now if you end up having a militia, it's because essentially it's not really a militia, and certainly it's not pretending to be a constitutional militia. It simply is making sure that you survive, that you live, by going ahead and getting people who are your family or your good friends here, essentially you're staying under the radar. And that's pretty well what Christian Dancy today is. You have all these people, and they end up having different beliefs. And here is Logan telling me, essentially, about all these frauds, about all these dog bots. Essentially, all they're about is going ahead and get retards money, get the tards money. Going ahead and sell them trinkets. I mean, it doesn't even have to be zogbotting. It could just be simply taking advantage of the suckers. Christian Identity, what I've seen here, is small. It's underground. It's one or two or three family churches. And in many cases, it doesn't have a unified doctrine. And I think that's a good thing here. Now, what I think I need to do is I simply need to go ahead and go through the Comparay and view here and get around the bottleneck from the Kingdom Identity Ministries AIT course, and essentially have, what, dual feline Christian identity for Whiggers, for Whigger dummies, for Whigger dumbasses, where essentially go ahead and give, the, what, a 99 cent, you know, belief, and essentially go ahead and mainly use it from, you know, Bertrand, what Bertrand Comparé said here. Now, is Bertrand Comparé Holy Scripture? And the answer is no, he is not. So, folks, from what I gather, he was the most gifted Christian identity, you know, dandy minister, the teacher that ever was. And that all these people, you know, I mean, Keith does not like Comparé. Oh, he made thousands of errors. Well, not yes, Keith. You end up making just one or two big ones. As far as Keith's concerned, I'm going to try to go ahead and teach him how to go ahead and schedule his shows himself. And I really do not have the appetite, at least not right now, to go ahead and essentially argue and argue and argue with him. It's up to him to learn. He's going to go ahead and do a show. Now he knows he can do it. It's going to be up to him to essentially do his own notes here. And, you know, folks, he had a real good buddy, number seven. Since they are both in agreement, they both believe the same thing, it would probably be better if they went to go ahead and have, you know, not a monologue with Keith, but rather them to go ahead and have their own show. But I've never seen, you know, and essentially, you know, maybe some of it's laziness here. But, folks, for every scripture where they come up with, you know, well, the wages of sin is being burnt, you know, forever and ever and ever, I'll come up with Romans chapter 6, 23, where the wages of sin are death, not eternal life, burning forever and ever and ever. You're going to go ahead and come up with Ecclesiastes 3, verse 21. I'm going to go ahead and show Ecclesiastes 17. Through 20, going ahead and modify Ecclesiastes 3:21. Is there any need to go ahead and even have such an argument? The answer is, I don't think so. I don't think so. I do think is that Bertrand Comparé was the most gifted, and essentially he went ahead and made it to where Christian identity does not step all over its tail. He has a cogent whole, and yes, sometimes when he went ahead and wrote, it was in relationship to the Cold War as existed in the 60s. And as a result, some of it is dated. Some of it is indeed dated. But what I see is that, the thing about it is that what Logan's told me tonight is that far worse than what even I thought it was here. You don't have Jews like Eli James, you know, and I think Fink is a Jew, but I do know he's a sociopathic criminal. You have Dan Johns. Dan Johns nearly got his ass whooped in 2005 because people thought he was a Jersey City Jew. He has a kid with Crohn's who's talking about his Crohn's attack over on Finkelschini's. And then Don Brown goes ahead and said his wife, she suffers from Crohn's. Folks, I mean, how much, you know, and they do the same, you know, these mamsters and Whiggers do the same thing. They just go ahead, I'm going to go ahead and give you an imprecatory prayer. I go ahead and I look over at Covington's things. You have old gender bender nosing around. You have old Steve Elder running around. I mean, real still, Steve Elder. Okay? And folks, I mean, some of this is ridiculous. These people pretend to be Christian identity, you don't even remotely apply. Okay? So, anyway, I'm sort of looking, I sort of got off the chat here. So, anyway, Ancient Mormon skinheads, look at rebelarmy.com. He's coming back. Roid Rage Retard's coming back. Well, how do you start a small family church? Well, the answer is that what you do is that you understand what you understand. Many times within Christian identity, you know, people cannot get their own children to go ahead and agree with them. It's a whole lot easier, I imagine. Southwest Missouri, Northern Arkansas, when you live, well, essentially when you live in a small town or you live out on a farm, it's a whole lot easier to go ahead and form a small Christian identity church, especially if you don't agree what's going on in Pasadena when you were part of Herbert's Bunch. It's a whole lot easier to go ahead and do that than in a, you know, than in a city. That's why there's very little actual Christian identity teaching, you know, in the Northeast, as opposed to, say, well, the Ozarks of Missouri, or say, you know, what, Western North Carolina, Eastern Tennessee, or Idaho, okay? And, well, I mean, I'm looking at this here. Old Roy Rage Retard is coming back here. Well, folks, I'm going to go ahead and click that here. let me see. Three strikes. Jim Giles will be live in the days ahead. Well, okay. Three strikes and you're not out. Well, okay. Yeah, who says that there are no second acts in American life? Here in our wonderful bowel movement, you end up having 666 second acts here. Just ask Trader Glenn Miller. Okay. Told you he would be back. Well, hey, I never doubted it here. You know what I mean? Steve Elder. Well, yeah, and let me go ahead, and I don't know. Sometimes I sort of think I was the one who went ahead and finished off poor old Roy Rage Retard, Jim Giles. Jim Giles has asked for, you know, several times for me to apologize for calling him a federal informant. And the answer is Jim Giles, you said you were a federal informant. If you're going ahead and writing a letter to the to a United States prosecuting attorney, tell somebody has gone ahead and violated the conditions of this parole, well, guess what? That makes you an informant, okay? Now, do you want to go ahead and, for, you know, want to